Good evening. It's me, the Monk. Have you ever listened to Trash Taste and thought, that doesn't seem too hard, I can do that? Well, you're in luck, because today I want to talk about Anchor, the easiest way to make podcasts, and it's completely free. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many, many more. I mean, it's literally what we're using now. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. And you can add any songs from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are literally endless. You can make anything, music analysis, talk shows, or even an anime podcast that talks about anime. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you want to give podcasting a go, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Anyway, back to the episode.
Hello, you fabulous fun bags. Welcome back to another episode of Trash Taste Podcast.
Oh my God.
I'm fun bag number one with bag number two and three.
Are you feeling fun today, Joey?
I'm feeling super fun today.
I gotta say, you kind of look like fucking Rocky Balboa, like about to like run up those steps right now.
That's a very sports-like jumper.
Is it?
It does look like the stereotypical, I'm about to
I walked
montage.
In the office and Maylene called me a fuckboy. And I don't know if I appreciated that.
It's because you have short hair and no beard.
Yeah. It's the short hair beanie and the rings. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you shave your facial hair?
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah, we all did.
For the charity stream that we just finished.
People are going to be like, oh my God, this episode's so, they recorded this so long ago.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Really, really dating ourselves. We're like, yeah, we just recorded the charity stream, which was
for you guys was like a month ago.
Probably
for us, it was 2 days ago.
I think it's a month and a half ago. Right?
Yeah,
oh, more than that. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, we're trying to get ahead before we fly off once again.
Yeah. But if you guys didn't know about it, we just finished a 24-hour charity stream for Doctors Without Borders, and it was extremely successful. Mm.
Yeah, I was very surprised. We raised 176, but we haven't added the amounts.
It's about 180, I think.
About 180, adding everything that we collected in total.
That's nuts.
Which is absolutely fucking nuts. I don't know what we expected out of this charity stream.
There was a part of me when we were deciding, okay, what are we going to make our goal? And someone was like, 100,000. I was like, in 24 hours, that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, yeah. Like if we were like doing a week long subathon.
Yeah,
maybe,
or like something like that. Because I don't know. I only did one charity stream once, like years and years ago with Arky, and like we did not raise nearly that much money. Yeah, so yeah, I think in the back of my head, I had that as my benchmark.
Yeah.
So when I heard 100,000, I was like, dude, we're not fucking PewDiePie or like Jacksepticeye. Like, we're not going to hit those numbers.
Right.
Turns out we kind of did because we were like number one on Twitch for like that night.
Nuts. I mean, I think we peaked at 53,000 viewers, which is insane.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, personal best.
That's definitely the most I've been involved.
Oh, it's definitely the most I've had. Yeah,
definitely by far. Well, I'm not even a streamer, so that's definitely the most I've been a part of.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah.
But how was the experience for you boys?
You know what? Even though I went into it with like zero sleep, it was probably the most fun stream I've ever been in. Like, I would absolutely do that again.
Part of me is just like, I would absolutely do that again. And part
not,
of me
not
is,
anytime soon.
Part of me is just like, man, I remember those last 6 hours.
I'll do it again once I forget about how hard the last six hours were. And I'm like, yeah, this is fine. We can do this again.
I mean, at least I had you guys and like Chris and like Mouse there, because like if I had done it by myself, I would not have lasted like 10 hours.
No, like I remember the last 2-3 hours, I was just running on complete autopilot. You know, you know when you're just using like the part of your brain that isn't even thinking, it's just like habits you've built up. That was just me. I was just like,
I saw bits and pieces of the VOD where you just like you alone on the couch and you're just like,
thank you for the $20 donation. it kind of got to a point where I was just like questioning my own insanity. Like because it was just
sanity.
Yeah.
Insanity. Questioning
my own sanity.
My favorite clip though is where you two were on the couch and you just started going, well, it's out for the boy. I was out for all the boys. And then Gant in the most unenthusiastic way goes, get hype, guys. It's like the most not hype, get hype, guys I've ever heard.
It just had such like house party vibes. Just like when you stay up too late and that there's one guy that just wouldn't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was exactly what it felt like, where I'm just like, I need to go to bed.
Gone is that one guy who doesn't leave.
You are like at every fucking like all night karaoke, Gant is the last guy.
I mean, I was the last guy on the stream as well. I'm just like, you boys. This wasn't the competition, obviously, but I was the only one to stay awake the entire time.
Connor that was in your position, he would have been like, weak. You're all weak. I won that competition. Absolutely. It was me. I carried.
I think because I knew you guys were there, and I was like, so I can sleep. Then I was like, yeah, I will.
Yeah.
But I think if it was just me alone, I would have had to. I mean, I would have just.
Oh yeah, of course.
And just been more miserable. But
yeah, I mean, like the reason I didn't sleep was because I knew as soon as I closed my eyes, they were not like going. They were. I could not go to sleep and come back up to like stream again.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop yawning.
I just looked horrible. Like I remember the last 30 minutes when I came back, I looked half dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God.
I think I used all my energy holding in the laughs.
Yeah, like I used so much energy not saying anything during like the try not to laugh segments.
Yeah.
That took a lot more energy than I thought it did. It actually took more energy than doing the quiz, talking, or just like hanging out.
Mm. Also, not to mention that I think we like greatly overestimated how much energy we were going to have because we had like a schedule, like a preemptive schedule that staff made. Mm-hmm. And we probably did maybe 40% of what was originally scheduled.
Yeah. 50. I mean, it was a few things because obviously Chris was scheduled for 2 hours, stayed for 6 hours, which I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. Yeah. He was obviously having fun.
Yeah.
But then we also had like a bunch of things that we were meant to be doing with Iron Mouse. But by the time Chris left and Mouse came on, it was just, we were so out of energy that we were just like, we can only manage talking right now.
Yeah, definitely.
How did you guys manage to recover afterwards? Did you recover easily?
I mean, recover is a strong word. I went home and like, weirdly enough, I think because I was kind of like reliving the moment when I was on the train ride home. So by the time I got home, I was like wide awake for some reason. And then I was doing a little bit of work and then my body was just like, I don't think so. And I just I literally passed out on my desk.
Oh my God.
For like an hour. And I was just like, okay, I need to go to bed. And then I slept for like 14 hours, I think.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then I just completely fucked my sleep schedule for the next day.
Yeah, I don't know. Like my body's so weird after an all-nighter. I hate it. I absolutely fucking hate it. Because like during the stream, I'm like, I'm going to pass out. As it's well documented that how close we were to passing out.
Right? Yeah.
And so I remember the stream finishes. I do not even remember saying like goodbye to anyone in the office, even though I know we were just like, hey, congratulations.
Yeah.
And they were like, see you on Tuesday, see you in like 2 days or whatever. I think I said see you on Tuesday, but I think I just left as well. I don't know if it seemed like I was rude or something. Yeah. I need to go to my
so
bed.
Rude, girl.
Yeah.
So rude.
And I remember going to my bed being like, finally, I've stayed up all night for this. Didn't nap, didn't sleep. I'm going to finally go to sleep. Mm. Go on my bed. And my body's just like, nope, you don't sleep now. You stay awake. You don't need sleep. It is sunshine now.
So how long did you stay awake till?
I stayed up for like an extra like, it took me 3 hours to get to a point where I could sleep. And so then I slept for like
3 p.m., 4 p.m.?
Yeah.
And yeah, then I slept, was around when I passed out.
I slept for 2 hours.
Oh my God.
So I was just, my day was like just fucked, I guess.
When did you go to bed then?
Like 2 a.m.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But then I did sleep for like 16 hours. So that's.
Wait, so you woke up like 4 p.m. the next day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, gone.
That's why like I woke up and I woke up to like Connor streaming Jump King. I was just like, fuck's sake. How are these boys like awake and streaming right now? I'm like fighting for my life.
On Sunday, I went home and then I had like 3 hours sleep. And then I went out for some drinks and a meal.
How the fuck?
How? I was like, fine.
How?
How?
And then I got tired at around 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. So I went home and then I slept, woke up early and played Jump King. But I finished it.
You finished it? Yeah, congrats. You both finished it, right?
Finally finished Babe of the Ascension.
Yeah.
It's like the worst thing ever. I don't ever want to do it ever again.
Finally finished the base game. That was a
fun. When are you going to do the DLC, Joey?
You know what sucks? Like at the end of that stream, I was like, you can't pay me to play the DLC. I want my happiness back in my life. But then the moment I turned off the stream, I was like, fuck, I want to keep playing.
Yeah, because you're like, but there's more.
Yeah, because it was the fact that there was so much encouragement online when I posted my time, and people were like, dude, you're actually cracked. And I was like, you know what, maybe I am.
Okay, okay. Give me a little more praise.
The game has a way of humbling you, because I thought the same thing when I did like the third DLC. I was like, I'm cracked, dude. I'll be able to do this new one like easily. Yeah. I was actually worried. I was like, what if I like beat this DLC too fast?
Too fast.
I'm like, and it's like not a good stream arc.
Yeah.
And then like the first 8 hours of playing it, I was like, oh no, this is hard. This is really hard. And it took me 48 hours to beat the DLC, the fan-made DLC.
But now I know what it feels like to be an alpha gamer. And now I can finally say, hey, Gon, when are you finishing Jump King, bro?
I'll do it, Gon. I fucking feel like, you know, fucking that scene in fucking My Hero Academia where like All Might is just pointing at you. So it's your turn now.
It's your turn.
For fuck's sake, All Might.
You gotta do it.
I'm just here watching on TV. I'm not even like involved. And here you are pointing at me being like, it's your turn.
You've done half of it. So you have to do the other half.
Is it half of it?
Nah, Gon got to maybe like 40%.
Yeah, I got like
40%. Wait, where did you get to?
I can't remember.
He got to the fucking...
the poles?
He got not even there. Oh. Like before that, the town in the sky, whatever that thing is. Bargainburg, that's it. He got to Bargainburg.
I mean, I will finish it just because I knew it's like one thing when I started it, and I was just like, I have the same inkling feeling in me where it doesn't feel comfortable until I finish it.
Take your time on you, Gon.
It's
been a few weeks since you last. You're gonna get rusty. You'll start from zero again.
I'll be fine. It'll be like pure muscle memory.
It'd be like you never left.
It's gonna be like dementia, the game with Gon. Every time he goes back to it, he's like, oh, I gotta learn this section again. Oh,
it'll be like my playthrough would be like 50 hours or something spread between an entire year.
If anything, you now have someone else to compare yourself to, and that's Maylene. Because she also started it as well.
Oh my god!
And that stream last night was hilarious.
I saw Mudan started it as well.
Yeah, Mudan started it.
Jesus Christ! Yeah. It's like a virus.
But don't worry, if you thought, look, like Maylene just got to the bottom of the sewers and it took her like a couple of hours to get there. So.
I just think it's like one of the best games to stream. It's just so intuitive. There's no explanation needed.
Yeah.
You know, like some games is like power ups, level ups, you know, and then there's like, oh, you can unlock this thing. And then everyone's like, oh, what's going on? But Jump King, it's literally just, you can
one
see.
Mechanic.
One
mechanic.
You jump. One button.
You understand immediately from watching that they're trying to go up. And when they fall, you're like, oh, I get it. This is fun to watch.
It's also just a pretty game.
It's good.
It's a really pretty game. It's
good, I love the aesthetic. I will say, you know, I thought you were bullshitting when you said, "Oh, it's a fun game. It's a fun game." But no, it is. I do actually genuinely think it's a fun game. There's a high that you get when you reach like your new personal best. You know what I mean? And you're like, damn,
you're like,
this is a good feeling. And then that lasts for like 3 seconds before you like fall for the first time. You're like, oh.
Because I know we spoke on Jump King so much on this podcast now. Yeah. It's just like taking over my life, but. On the first map, there's like a very solid checkpoint. When you get to that, you feel like, I can do this.
The 70% one, right? Yeah.
Yeah, when you get to the...
The church. Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, I can do this.
Yeah.
That's when it feels good.
Yeah, that's when I was like, all right, I got this. You got this, King.
Yeah. You can do it then. If you can get that, you can do it easily.
So DLC for me is a hard maybe.
Then you should do it.
I think I want to like maybe... put in a couple of like other games that I've been wanting to play.
Hard maybe. What does that even mean?
It's a hard maybe.
Joey
won't ever commit to anything. So no. Maybe is about the best you'll get. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's better than Arcane. We'll flat out say no.
Hard maybe is like a...
I am committed to my neutrality here. Yeah. It could be yes, it could
be
no.
Do you want to marry the bride? Maybe.
That's a hard maybe, dog.
That's a hard maybe.
My ass is firmly planted on the fence. Like,
what was your viewership higher than normal when you were doing Jump King?
Oh yeah, you see? For sure. Yeah, but you know, it's like, what do I prioritize? Clout or happiness? It's a hard choice for every YouTuber.
You can have both.
I'm just waiting for when the Kirby game comes out, dude. That's when real happiness comes out.
I play games now. Like when I'm playing, like when I play Pokemon Arceus, I'm like, there's just not enough. Challenge, even though there definitely was,
but
the thing was is that I never once thought for a moment I wasn't going to be able to do it, whereas Jump King has that thing where it's like, I don't know if you can do it, man.
Wait, but you did that last fight,
the
right?
Volo.
You struggled a lot with it.
I did, but like at no point did I ever feel like, this is too hard.
Really? Yeah, because like to me, like that was easily the hardest in-game Pokemon fight.
It is. It is. But even then, I like there's no point where doing it where I'm like, I don't know if I can do this, man.
Yeah, I don't think.
Like, I just felt like I just got to grind a little bit more.
I don't know, man. Arceus was hard as fuck.
Okay, yeah. That
yeah, I want to see you do
where,
that.
Whereas like Nubay Plus, when I was playing that game of Jump Kings, the second map, there was like, I did it over three streams. So one stream, second stream, third stream. Mm-hmm. The second stream after it, and I went to bed, I had like anxiety. I was like, what if I just like can't do it?
Just don't, can't do
what
it.
If I can't do it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to be able to forget this if I can't do it. And then I woke up the next day and just bossed it, just destroyed it.
Right. Damn.
I think you have an addiction.
I do, yeah.
That's definitely an addiction.
Because, you know, there's been like, I kind of got out of like multiplayer games. That was kind of where I got the kick from, beating other people. But, you know, there's a hard ceiling in multiplayer games where you're like, if I want to be able to improve at this game, I have to put an absurd amount of hours in.
Right. Yeah.
Consistently.
Yeah.
Wait, but is 45 hours in one Jump King map not an absurd amount of time?
Here's the thing, right?
What is a lot of time?
You could finish 13 Sentinels in that time.
Think about it. An FPS, first-person shooter, multiplayer game, whatever, 45 hours is nothing.
That's true.
That's absolutely nothing. You're competing against people who do 45 hours a week.
Yeah,
true. How many hours have you put into all of Jump King right now?
100-something.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah,
that's a Persona play.
That's like, a Persona playthrough.
In Apex, I have like over 1,000 probably.
Yeah, that's true.
Like
that's
it's, true. And even then, like I'm just like, I got to master once, and that was me going insane grinding.
Mm. Well, why don't you get into more like challenging games then? Because you said you don't really play like the Souls types games or like
I'm gonna do Elden Ring.
But like I feel like it's a different type of challenge because with Jump King, it's just like one mechanic that you have to like
hone
and master. Mm. Whereas with something like Elden Ring or Sifu, it's like a lot of things going on at once.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of different approaches, a lot of ways to master the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I just like Jump King because there's no bullshit. There's like, if you fucked up, absolutely nothing. There's no other single factor.
Yeah, because with games like Dark Souls or like Sifu, right, where you're like, it's like you can blame it on like the enemy.
What
like
the fuck, that one frame hit me with a...
Yeah.
I know I'll make up excuses.
But at Jump King, there's no enemies to get in your way. It's just you. You're in the way of yourself.
You are your own enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Almost like fucking...
No, don't trust anyone, not even yourself.
Like each DLC gets more brutal though. Like on, you know, the first Jump King, you can only fall like two screens max.
That's what I'm dreading, man.
And I fell like 20.
What if I like actually start raging?
I do.
But like, I don't want that though. I don't want to get angry.
Not like an actual angry though. Like an angry video game angry. You know what I mean? It's a different kind of anger. I don't know how to explain it. It's an anger where you're like, you shout, but it doesn't actually like... actually get you upset.
Right.
It's kind of like, ah! Yeah. All right, back to it.
it's just like a slight frustration, slight annoyance.
Well, no,
like stubbing your toe.
Well, no, there's different kinds of video game anger. Yeah. I don't know what that analogy was. But I'm not angry when I stub my toe.
Not like a 13-year-old on Xbox Live anger where I just test out all the new bad words I've learned.
Right.
Yeah. That kind of anger. Like, you know, like a... just a mild frustration. Like when the website, when you fill out the whole form and then it reloads for some reason, you're like,
oh yeah.
And then you're like,
really? That's the anger you feel?
Dude, have you not had that? I get so angry when that happens.
Oh, that's like
you've like filled out a whole sign up form, put the credit card info in, the address in, all in the right space. You're about to go to the checkout. For some reason,
time's
like,
out.
Time's out or it reloads. Yeah. You're like, fucking Guts theme goes through my head. I'm like, is it even worth signing up again? I don't know. I don't know if this is worth it anymore. I don't even want the trampoline.
The worst part is when you fill out everything correctly except for that one field, but the website's designed in a way that when you press send, it goes, this one field is incorrect.
We've reset the whole thing.
But they reset the entire thing.
That's the
except
level of anger.
That one field.
Oh, like, imagine that happens, but just it happens to every website you sign up for.
That's like, there's so many Japanese websites.
Every
like
Japanese
website,
dude. Like, I don't know if Japanese people are aware of UX designers, but they certainly
need
to.
It's just like the amount of times I've been like fucking cucked by not using like half width.
Yeah.
My fucking God.
This is the biggest joke in Japan. And like, it's something you'll never experience unless you either try to buy stuff in like on a Japanese website.
Yeah.
But for some reason they have full width and half width katakana and hiragana.
Can you explain that, by the way? What is the point of full width and half?
I'll tell you exactly the difference.
Okay.
There is none. That's what's so frustrating about it.
I think someone explained it to me one time. It had something to do with how they coded way back the initial internet Japan, and it was like a layover from that, essentially, that they kept using, and they never like decided to sort out.
Yeah, because I mean, like I've told the story of how I interned for an IT company here, and I had to fix a bunch of like clients' websites, and I had to go like through the HTML, and I had like almost had a stroke looking at some of these codes, because it's like, oh my god, you said you built this website last year, you're using code literally from the 90s. I was like, what? Of course this, like, of course this page takes like 20 seconds to load, even though it's just text-based, because it's so much bullshit code here. Because fucking,
it's so weird, because there's so much like convenience stuff and stuff, crazy stuff you can do that you can't do in other countries.
Yeah. Mm.
And then they're like, how about just websites? We just keep them shit.
Weirdly enough, the best designed websites are the fucking anime trailer websites.
Right?
Yeah, the ones that are like, they use like fucking like pretty like Java and like CSS. It's like, oh, that looks fancy as fuck.
Like when that website of like when the last Bakemonogatari like Monogatari volume was coming out.
Yeah.
And it was just like scrolling down through the entire history of the series. I was like, damn, this is a beautiful looking website.
Oh my god, someone, an actual coder.
Yeah,
an actual programmer made this, dude.
Why can you not add this to your UI design when I'm trying to fucking buy something? Exactly. Or like sign up to a site.
Like Rakuten is just like a hellhole of a website, because you don't know, you go to like, because like on Amazon, for example,
this is why Amazon's so good. They don't do this
because
shit.
On Amazon it's like, okay, there's the fucking picture of the thing you want to buy, there's how many is left, when it's going to arrive, here's all the information, everything is perfectly laid out with every single item.
Yeah.
Meanwhile with Rakuten, it's just a fucking free-for-all. It's like, would you like 17 banners that have nothing to do with the product you're actually buying? Yeah. By the way, where is the purchase button? Oh, it's buried deep beneath this fucking wall of text. And every time I go on a Rakuten, it's so handy because you get so much stuff on Rakuten that you can't get on Amazon.
Yeah.
But it's a fucking, it's just a struggle to try and like buy anything, because it doesn't even tell you when it arrives either. Oh,
no, that's not the final boss. The final boss is Yahoo Auctions.
Oh,
my God. Where you can't even like, you can't even sign up with an account that you want. You need like a special Yahoo account.
Yeah.
So you need to just sign up to Yahoo. And it's not your normal Yahoo. It's Japanese Yahoo as well.
Yeah, so I have a Yahoo email account. So I'm like Duncan or something. I don't know. They chose the name for me. It's really weird.
Yeah, of course it's a Yahoo Japan account, because no one outside of Japan uses fucking Yahoo anymore.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So you need to sign up with a special Yahoo account to sign up to this Yahoo Auctions account, to then just not even like, I don't even know what the etiquette is in terms of like bidding stuff and how to buy
stuff.
Dude,
I've dead ass never even used Yahoo Auctions, just because I refuse to make a Yahoo Japan account.
I have a bad rating on it because I forgot one time to say I got the thing.
I got a really angry
message from a dude who was like, why haven't you told me that you got it? This has been an awful experience for me. I'm like, I just figured if I didn't say anything, that means like I got it.
Yeah, right? You'd think so.
But like, how'd you pay? Can you pay with like credit card or something?
Yeah, so it's really confusing, because there's like, when you auto translate it in Google, there's like online pay and like something else that sounds like online pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember that I was confused and I clicked one of them, and then I had to do this whole weird kind of thing with my bank where I had to then like contact my bank to do the online payment.
Oh my God.
Where there's just another field that just let you put your credit card information in. And it isn't clear, because it didn't say like credit card. It said something else.
Yeah.
Really annoying. Really, really annoying. I hate using it. Yeah. I just don't bother. That's what I mean. Like, as well, a lot of the websites that offer English, they're like, okay, you click English, send you to a brand new website that doesn't have half the shit that the Japanese.
Yeah.
Whereas like Amazon, it's like, you change to English, nothing changes except the language.
Yeah.
And it's like, great.
It's exactly like, you know, when you go to like a Chinese restaurant with your one Chinese mate, and they're like, bring out the special menu.
Bring out the real menu.
I don't know why it's like Chinese restaurants in particular, but it seems like every Chinese restaurant has the special menu that you can only get by asking in Cantonese or Mandarin or whatever.
And I bet they're not even saying like, bring out the real menu. It's probably just like a code word, you know? It's like, Mandarin is an orange, and they're like, I said the word. All right, bring it out right now.
It just blows my mind, because like, you know, I go to a Thai restaurant and I can ask them in Thai whether they have, you know, a Thai dish that they only like do in Thailand, or only most Thai people would know. But like, it's just like, why is it that Chinese restaurant just have an unspoken understanding that there's going to be so many people asking for a special menu that they're going to make a special menu in every single Chinese restaurant?
Why are they literally gatekeeping? It's like, they're literally gatekeeping. Be like, if you're not Chinese, you can't get the real shit. You know?
Makes me feel sad though, because I love Chinese food.
But I know, right?
I never want to go to a Chinese restaurant without a Chinese friend.
I know, yeah, I know, right? It sucks.
Because it feels like you've just unlocked the starter kit, right? And you need to learn Mandarin to get like the actual good gear, right? Do you know what I mean? Because like, I love Chinese food, but the best Chinese food I've had has not come from the normal menu.
No.
Like if I go to like a Chinese restaurant and I see like fucking, you know, orange chicken, sweet and sour chicken, yeah, fried rice, all this stuff, I was like, no. Give me the real shit.
Yeah,
give me the real shit. But I don't know how to access it.
It's like, where is your Chinese friend, huh?
I do not know how to access him. It. You just speak Chinese, bro. Just speak Mandarin.
Exactly.
It's easy. Just exactly. It's easy. But,
could you imagine if like McDonald's did that? It's like, oh, where's your American friend?
Wait, well, I know Shake Shack does though.
Does it? Do they?
Yeah, they have a secret. They have secret items.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know this? No, it's not Shake Shack. Sorry. In-N-Out.
In-N-Out. Oh, In-N-Out. Oh, yeah. I don't go to
what
In-N-Out, so it's fine.
What possible special menu can they provide?
You can get like the, you can, well, I don't know, it's like animal style fries. That's a secret menu.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that.
Yeah. And then there's like a...
Is that a secret menu though? I feel that's like so well known now.
Yeah, but if you're like a, if you're a tourist from Asia, don't speak English.
Oh, that's true.
You're like, and you're like, what's that guy got? What the fuck? How do I
get like, no never, one tells
I'll
you.
Never tell. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I know you can get a flavor where like they mix all the, all the milkshake flavors into one.
Oh.
Which sounds interesting.
Sounds interesting, yeah.
If you want that. I think there's something else. There's another secret burger or something as well. I know there are secret items at fast food chains.
There are secret items.
Items, not
why
menu.
Would there
not
be
like
secret?
An entire,
I don't know. That
because they don't, because it's a pain in the ass to make, but if
is
someone
is it a marketing for, thing, you reckon? Is
also
it,
that as well, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you seem like you're, you're like
in a club.
Yeah. Part of the secret society.
Yeah.
I got the real stuff. Give me the real stuff.
Have you been to those like places that are like secret bars or clubs or anything?
Oh, like the invite only ones.
Yeah,
and stuff. Yeah.
Have you been to those?
Yeah. One of my friends took me to one where it literally, it's in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously not going to say where, but like it literally just-
I'll never tell.
I've been there.
It literally looks like a concrete wall.
Hmm.
And he just like, I was with my friend and he's like, okay, we're here. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Where was this?
It's like, it's in Roppongi somewhere, I think.
We went to one in Shibuya, right?
Where yeah, like, that speakeasy.
They said like closed. And it was like closed due to Corona.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then someone like knocked on the door and they came out.
So it wasn't even just closed. It was just scaffolding and wooden door. Like the place was like being built or boarded off. And you just knock on the door and like an actual speakeasy, like the fucking thing opens up.
Yeah, my one had that as well. So like he knocked, like he's like, oh, I have to knock a specific way as well. And I'm like, no, bullshit, you do. And he did like a secret like pattern. And then the thing came up and he's like, password or onegai shimasu. And then he said the password and he's like, friend? He pointed at me and he's like, yeah, friend. And I was like, okay. And then he opens it up and it's just this tiny, like maybe 3-person bar.
Right.
And I mean, it was all right, I guess.
It was all right.
It was cool that I was in
the
that.
The coolest part, it was just going to what looked like a secret bar.
The coolest part was just like the dude opening up like this. I'm like, I've only ever seen that in movies.
I went to one where it was in London. I went to it and it was like a breakfast restaurant or something on the top.
Yeah.
We went in there and I didn't know the password and neither did my friend.
Mm.
And then we were like, we don't know what the password is.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's a Daft Punk song lyric. And then he was like feeding it to me. And I was like, it was something like, I'm up all night to get lucky or something.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So he said it. And then he was like,
it's not even like an obscure Daft Punk song.
No.
You just go through their entire discography.
Yeah, I was like,
you're like, which album?
Oh, which album are we talking about? Okay. Can't be too many lyrics.
Yeah.
If it's Daft Punk lyrics, that narrows
it. Is it around the world?
So then we're here. And then some guy comes and greets us. And we start walking through this restaurant that's closed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, like in a movie, we go in the kitchen and there's people like working in the kitchen and we're just like walking through.
Oh, shit.
Right. And we go down into a basement in the kitchen and there's like boxes of fries and shit all around us and we're going in.
Yeah.
And then like in a fucking spy movie, it's got the fucking beads.
Oh, shit. And,
like, opens it up. And it's this room. I mean, it's fine.
Like a dimly lit room.
It's okay, but there's like no real like chairs or anything. It's kind of like a very small room that's very dimly lit, and it wasn't that good. And the drinks are okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the coolest part was walking to this thing. And
oh,
then
yeah.
I,
yeah.
And then
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, now I want to leave.
Yeah.
What I've always wanted to know, what, why would you opt to make a business like that? Right? Like, you I feel.
Novelty.
Yeah, it's, I feel like, clearly like if you're going to opt to be like, okay, I'm going to make this so exclusive that it's like near impossible for a regular person to find, then it's like you're clearly not doing it as a sustainable business, you know? You're clearly just doing it as like a fucking hobby,
I mean,
or something.
It's the assumption is you'll be able to survive on word of mouth, I guess. Yeah. That's the hope.
A lot of people are like, it's so cool, you got to go.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the drinks are very mediocre. Yeah. But the experience feels worth it because you feel exclusive.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's just bragging rights, right?
Yeah, you pay for the experience and not so much the, you know, the bar or the business or the drinks itself.
It's like bars that are membership only.
Right.
And you
right.
can only get membership by having someone recommend you.
Mm.
Like that always seemed really silly to me, but there's so many of them in Tokyo.
Well, that's like in, yeah. that's like half of like the Golden Guy.
Yeah, membership.
Yeah, half of Nichome right. as well is like that as well. Yeah. Where it's like if you don't know someone who either works there or goes there frequently enough, they just won't let you in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, like I can get it with the bars in Golden Guy because the bars are so small that I'm sure that their regular customers can keep their business up and running.
Yeah.
Anyway, you just need like one or two patrons to you keep get yourself going, and then you're basically set.
That's right? true. That's true.
You're basically set.
It'd be pretty cool to own a like tiny little bar in Golden Guy. I've always thought about that, but it's like what? But like,
how hard is it to get a bar there?
Yeah, right? That's what I've always wanted. I'm like, but like, all those bars, even though they're so tiny, I'm sure they're paying out the ass to have that space.
What if you made a Trash Taste Bar there?
A Trash Taste Bar in Golden
trash
Guy.
Trash Taste Special. Build a bar.
Build a bar in Golden Guy. All three of us build our own bars in Golden Guy. See who makes the most money at the end of the night.
I don't even want to.
I didn't even want to think.
Logistical nightmare.
I didn't even want to think about how much it must cost to like rent out a space.
I'd get really claustrophobic walking, working in one of those bars.
I think it's cozy.
You think it's cozy?
Yeah, I think it's cozy.
It depends. I've been in some where it's like I literally can't stand up straight inside of them.
Right? It's literally a shoebox.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And I don't even know how they get into the bar, let alone. Work
well, most of them are like, you know, 4 feet tall, like Obachans, right?
So that's
like, they probably don't have any problems.
It's not built for someone of my stature. Yeah. Like, if I stand up, I literally, my head literally hits the ceiling.
Like, I feel like Gandalf in Frodo's house in a lot of these places, right? I'm just constantly like, can I get a drink, please?
It's normally if you're wide, that's the problem, though. Not if you're tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's why, like, going in the wintertime is the worst because you're, like, all puffed up with jackets and shit. And you're just like, all right, out of the way, please. Sorry, excuse me.
I think it's best to go in winter, though. In the summer, it feels weird. I don't know why.
I feel in the summer, it's just so way too hot.
It's hot.
Right?
It's really hot.
Yeah.
Even though the AC is going, it's still, though.
Either way, it's very much a gamble. I've heard so many horror stories in Golden Guy and like Nichome and all that kind of
just
stuff.
Just don't go into a bar if someone tells you to go into a bar. That's the rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If somebody's
yeah.
trying to tell you to go into their bar, that's probably a good sign to not go into that bar.
Probably absolutely. A bad idea.
Gentlemen, this episode of Trash Taste is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Going online without ExpressVPN is like using your smartphone without a case. It's barbaric. Most of the time, you'll be fine. But all it takes is one incident for you to wish that you used a case. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, etc., your online data is not secured. Any hacker on the network can gain access and steal your personal data, passwords, financial details, and more. It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack someone, just some cheap hardware. So why use ExpressVPN? Well, it creates a secure and encrypted tunnel between you and the internet, so hackers won't be able to find out what you're doing. And it's super secure. It would take a hacker over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. And me and the boys have been using ExpressVPN for a goddamn hot minute. And it's just so easy. It's so easy. You just click the button and it works. So secure your online data today by going to expressvpn.com/trashtaste. That's expressvpn.com/trashtaste. And you get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/trash taste. Link in the description. Back to the episode.
Yeah, I've only been to like Golden Guy like 2 times. I haven't been that many times. And it's been a interesting experience every time.
Yeah. The last time I went was with you guys and at that bar.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, which was really, really fun.
That was a good time.
Yeah. We're like
when was that?
That's the one that Jan came to.
Oh, that one.
And
yeah,
he
yeah.
immediately went behind the bar and started
Well, he just
drinks.
Basically just took over the bar.
He just took over, yeah.
Was it because the woman who was at the bar got tired or something?
Yeah, it was like this. It was owned by this, like, what looked like at least 70, 80-year-old, like, old lady. She was really, really nice. But she was, like, clearly standing at the bar all night. And yeah. the moment Jan came in, she was like, oh, that looks like a charismatic enough guy to take over my bar for the night. And so she literally ushers Jan over because there were no seats left. Because, yeah. There was, like, us three and like two other Japanese people, and that was it. It was so small. So Jan comes in, he's like, oh, I got nowhere to sit. Old lady just like ushers Jan over and he's like, take over. And then she just goes behind the back and we never see her for the rest of the night. And I'm just like, we could just leave if we wanted to. Obviously yeah. we paid at Obviously. The end of it.
It was like 1,000 yen a drink, but like it was like you were pouring the drinks. So it was like, yeah. you could just make it as strong as you wanted.
Exactly.
It was strange.
It became a self-service bar. And I don't know how Jan has this effect, like basically everywhere he goes where he just sweet talks the fucking restaurant, the waiter or the bar lady to give us the special service or the special menu, the menu that
yeah.
doesn't exist. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's always Jan. It's always someone like Jan who is able to get.
Jan is the only man that can somehow pull out a secret menu from a restaurant that doesn't even have a secret menu. He's just like, oh, I guess we have a secret menu now. Fuck, I bring it out for this guy.
Can you imagine like going to like a British restaurant or something and like get out the secret menu and it's just like, toast sandwich.
Unfortunately.
toast sandwich, crisp sandwich.
Unfortunately, I think the UK is the one place where sweet talking doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
They're just like, no.
Really?
No. I've never seen anyone sweet talk anything in the UK. Maybe in a bar with one guy, yeah. but like in a restaurant, it'll never work.
Or maybe it's because they just don't have like secret menu culture, maybe?
No, we don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what would be on like the Japanese secret menu? If there was like, if you went to like
something
an abroad.
Slimy.
Japanese
Natto?
Secret some cognac or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like we don't have secret menus here either, just because like we don't even have tipping culture here.
Yeah,
because we're like, so these are the rules. We can't make any kind of exceptions.
Why would you
want to
hide something if you're proud of it?
Maybe right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, like right. what I'm talking about is if you go to a Japanese restaurant not in Japan.
Oh, I see.
Like what would be like the foods on there that would be something that you, a Japanese person, very accustomed to Japanese cuisine, would know, but not. Is like, I guess, not mainstream enough to be on like, to be
so
like.
So you're asking what the most underrated Japanese food is? I would
say it'd probably be something slimy, like most of the shit that we've ended up feeling in the what's in the box and the charity
like
stream.
Like mozuku or like
shit like that,
okra,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably something like that. Like maybe like, I don't know, natto in curry maybe.
Because I feel like a lot of izakaya foods would be on there.
Yeah, definitely. Like the blended squid and stuff like that, or like takawasa. That shit's bomb. That shit's bomb.
Oh, no way.
Hey man, you're part of my team now because you like natto.
Okay, natto was actually all right. It was all right.
The taste is fine, but the slime is just dreadful.
Yeah.
Really vile.
The slime is, it's not even the worst texture I've had in Japan. Mm. I feel like it looks a lot worse than it tastes and feels in your mouth, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the beans taste pretty good. I mean, it just tastes like soy sauce, I think. I mean, it smells very-
basically what it is.
I mean, that's what it is.
It's just soy sauce on soybeans. It's
right.
Soy overload.
Right. I mean- yeah.
I feel though, because you guys ate it like straight out of the packet, you got like the full brunt of like the sliminess and the texture. But like when you put that on a bed of rice, because you're eating it with rice, it doesn't feel as slimy.
Yeah, I feel like with a bit of rice, it would be perfect.
Yeah.
It would be absolutely perfect.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess- You know, you gotta
just give it a go.
Give it a go. Sometimes.
If you don't like it, it's totally fine.
Maybe you'll like it. Maybe you're not.
Yeah.
Like to me, I learned that I just can't handle ketchup. I don't know why. I don't know why. Like that was the first time.
To be fair, that was a lot of ketchup.
That was the first time. Like so,
God's referring to the 24-hour live stream.
To explain, we all had forfeits to do. I had to eat pizza crust drenched in ketchup and mayonnaise because I hate ketchup and mayonnaise. Mm. And
you don't eat the crust.
And I don't eat the crust. And I remember, like, I was like, I'm going to give this the best go that I possibly can because it's for charity. And it's the first time where I've put something in my mouth and I had like immediate gag reflex.
That's because it's your mind. Though. Yeah. Your mind is telling you that you don't want it.
Like to me, like the natto, like I was just like, maybe I'm going to gag during the natto. And I had it and I'm just like, ooh.
It's because you expected to gag. I think you expected to like throw up. So you were psyching yourself out. So the moment it touched your tongue, you're like,
Yeah. To be fair, though, that smell was pretty dreadful. But I had to do the ghost pepper. That was dreadful.
How was that experience?
That hurt. See, because, like, you know, you guys were saying, like, oh, you know, and everyone in the chat was saying, oh, look forward to the next morning. Like, you're gonna be shitting through a straw. And I was like, oh, God.
The ramen was way worse.
Yeah, the ramen was way worse that we had. But, I was fine. Like, I had maybe, like, one painful shit, and then I thought that was going to be, like, the beginning of the end.
The one that's spicy is the only one you get.
Yeah. But, yeah, I was fine after that. I just, you know, I look back on this clip of me, like, shivering for 15 minutes afterwards, and I'm like, I literally look like I'm about to fucking die.
Yeah, I was like getting slightly worried when you start shivering.
Yeah.
I know it's because your body is just going into shock.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you're like, your body is rushing you with like fucking adrenaline and endorphins and all that kind of shit. And I just remember seeing you like go like this, and I'm just like, so are you all right, man?
I looked, and like, you know, I think the worst part about it is when you watch that out of context, you see a dude who looks clearly sleep deprived with like huge bags under his eyes, shivering. I just look like a crack addict. Like, I just look like I was having withdrawals. I was like sleepy dudes with like, like, yeah, it was not the best look.
I don't think the sleep deprivation helped as well, because I can't imagine trying a food that you really...
It was like 7 in the morning.
Yeah, dude. It was 7 in the morning. We were up for like 20 hours at that point, and you're like, perfect time to eat a ghost pepper.
No. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I couldn't taste anything.
Oh.
Yeah, there was no flavor.
Was it as painful as you thought it would be?
I
find that like sauces, like really like heavy sauce-based dishes that are spicy are the hardest to eat. Because like, you know, like the hot ones stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can eat all of those hot ones sauce, like the hottest ones on wings, like no issue. Like I don't need milk or anything like that. It's just, it tastes good. Like the last dab. Mm-hmm. I like slather everything in that.
Right.
It's all good. Because it's just a few bites, but it's very solid.
Mm.
But like we did the ramen video for yours.
Yeah.
And that wasn't that spicy. Like it, I'd say like it's not as spicy as like a ghost pepper or a Carolina Reaper.
Yeah.
But because it's just sauce.
Yeah.
It coats your mouth. Coats your like esophagus,
and then it goes
in your stomach, and it hurts so much.
Yeah,
and then it takes a while, so you just keep eating.
Yeah,
and eating.
And I definitely struggle more, I think, with that than the ghost pepper.
One burst of spice is not that bad. It's when you keep eating bursts of spice.
Yeah,
that like the pain builds up, multiplies.
Yeah, you don't give yourself a break.
That's why like eating one Carolina Reaper for me is like totally chill. Like I could do it now, and we could still film the episode, and it'd be chill.
Yeah,
but, eating like those competitions where they eat like 40. I'm like, that's fucked.
How has anyone not died from that?
That's fucked. I don't know.
I don't think you can
die from spice?
No, you can go into shock though.
You can go into shock, but I don't, has there been a recorded case of someone dying from spice? I'm not sure if there is. There has been?
You can burn a hole through your stomach.
I don't necessarily think that's true though. I think.
Yeah.
You'd have to have a pretty weak stomach though, I feel.
Yeah, because like
I think it's a factor of things.
Because like for me, as someone who like loves spicy food, like trying to explain why I eat spicy food or why like, you know, like Jerry's said to me all the time, like, oh, I don't know how you can like get through that or something like that. And I think one thing that's really underrated about why people eat spicy food is that the spicy food needs to taste good.
Yeah,
you know, because we when we think of like spicy challenges, we just think about getting through how spicy this spicy meal is or getting through like this fucking pepper or something. But a big draw of spicy food is that even if you're in fucking pain and you know, your mouth is hurting, if it tastes good with the spice, you want to finish it and you want to eat it because it tastes good.
I mean, that was it with the ramen video. Like I would not have finished that if it didn't taste as good as it did.
Yeah,
and it tasted really fucking good. If that did not taste good, I would just been like, no, fuck this.
Yeah, like I've had like, for example, like the Koko Ichiban level 10 spice and it is spicy, but it doesn't taste good at all.
Right,
like it just feels like you're making it spicy to make it spicy.
Just artificial.
It's just artificial.
Right,
sometimes it just feels like this is just a flex at the end of the day where we can make it this spicy, but it doesn't even like, the taste doesn't marry well with the spice at all. And it just like, if like proper good spicy dishes need to taste good.
It needs to complement the actual base food, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I have like, for example, I have like Thai food without the spice and it literally does feel like there's a component that's missing from the food.
So good.
Yeah. What are you going to say, Astrid?
Capsaicin does cause tissue inflammation. So a large enough dose could cause serious damage to your stomach and intestine.
I feel you'd have to have like an egregious amount though to hit that point.
Or something really spicy and have it all in one sitting, you could do enough damage to potentially kill you.
My ex-girlfriend was Sri Lankan.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to meet her parents and stuff. Everything had chilies in it.
Of course.
It was amazing. Yeah. I loved it. Yeah. It was like breakfast omelet with like five of those peppers that you put in like Thai food.
Fucking hell.
And I ate them all. And then I don't know if I told the story. Her mom came in and was like, "Why did he eat the peppers?" And I was like, "Am I not supposed to eat the peppers?" And she was like, "No, you'll get stomach cancer if you eat the peppers." I'm like, "Why would you put them in the food? What the fuck? They were delicious. Like, it was good."
Yeah.
It was also like another restaurant because she took me around to a bunch of the local restaurants. Mm-hmm. And there's one thing where it was like deviled mutton, it was called, or something.
Mm. Yeah.
And it was like
that sounds badass.
It was like the most delicious marinated mutton I'd ever had in my life.
Damn.
But it was like Doom level of spice.
Or if it's got the word devil, devil's mind.
And it was like, I'm tearing up, but I'm like, fuck, it's so good. And it was like, even though I was in like so much pain, I'm like, just another bite. Yeah. It's so good.
That's the thing about spicy food. If it's really good spicy food, you're like,
you power through.
Just one more bite. Yeah. When you take the bite, you're in a pain, but you're just like, oh, it just tastes so good.
I don't know how to explain it, but like when it's super spicy and super delicious, it's almost like it's searing in the flavor into your tongue.
This is so much flavor. Because it's almost like if you take the spice out, because like, for example, I've had like very, I've had unspiced Thai curry. I've had unspiced Indian curry as well, because we live in England. The best way I can describe it is that it just tastes flat. Mm. It tastes flat. There's something that's missing from the taste. Right. And,
it's like uncarbonated soda. Like
Kind of. That's a good analogy, actually. The flavor's there, but there's like a texture.
The flavor is there, but the personality is gone.
Exactly.
You know? Indian curry, you know, if you have rice with it too, or you have naan, I feel like that's so nice to have like spice with it.
Because
it kind of helps mellow it out a bit.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because like I never, for the longest time, I didn't understand that concept of like spice enhancing food because, you know, up until I'd say maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, I could not handle spice at all. Like if I went to Kokoichi, I would do like level one, which is like the most basic shit. And I'd just be like, no, too spicy. I can't do it. And then I don't know what it was that like, where just one day I kind of just flipped a dime and I was like, you know what? It hurts, but I'm enjoying it for some reason.
Growth.
Yeah. What is this?
See, I had like the opposite journey of Joey. Someone who's grown up on Thai food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like I remember as a kid, I like really did not like Japanese food at all because a lot of Japanese cuisine revolves around, you know, the natural flavor of like stuff, you know, like savoring it and just bringing out the natural flavors of the ingredient. And me, a Thai person, being like, there is not enough ingredients in this dish. What, sushi? Sushi? What? That's just
two
rice.
Ingredients.
That's rice and fish. What? Where's the spice? Where's the flavor?
Wasabi. How,
you know? But yeah, three ingredients, like, you know, rice, you know, rice with a bit of vinegar in it, fish and wasabi. I'm just like, where's the 5 million spices to go with it? What you dip it in soy sauce? Where's the chilies in the soy sauce?
Where's the kick?
Yeah, where's the kick? And like Japanese cuisine was like my least favorite cuisine because to me there just weren't enough like extra spices or extra ingredients to enhance the flavors.
This unseasoned sushi.
And then as I grew older, I'm just like I learned to really appreciate the subtleties in the flavor of like Japanese cuisine where it really enhances like, you know, the good ingredients.
It's just rice, isn't it?
Just rice.
All the same.
You know,
sushi chefs trained for 20 years to get the perfect rice. It's all rice, isn't it?
It's all the same.
What is this, Uncle Ben's? What is this?
all rice. Did you put it through a colander?
Yeah. This is microwave?
Did you wash this rice?
Yeah. No? Wash this rice through a colander?
It's microwave rice, right? Yeah. Literally five minute rice?
Yeah. Minute Maid rice?
Yeah. Well, I fucking love the golden rice in those microwave packets, though. I fucking love that rice.
Oh, the ready to make ones, right? Yeah,
they taste so good.
Yeah, they do taste.
Probably because it has all the artificial shit in it.
Exactly.
Fast food rice. How do we make rice unhealthy? Super unhealthy. We found a way.
Yeah, honestly, like the fast food, the packeted fried rice that you can buy is actually pretty damn
good. In Japan, it's pretty good.
Oh, the one that you can buy in the freezer.
Yeah, I used to live off it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, I make curry and I don't want to make, I didn't have a rice cooker at the time.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And I hated making rice the way that my mum taught me, which was just boil a pan full of water and gas.
Yeah.
Which sometimes worked, sometimes didn't.
Yeah.
But
doing it in Japan is like blasphemous.
I know. But it's like, it's weird because you'd think that like the first people to adapt an easier way to do it would be white people because they love being lazy.
That's true.
So like you'd think rice cookers would go down, like especially for the UK where we love rice.
Yeah.
Like we love eating it with curry. Mm. So like you'd think that.
Dude, do people in the UK love rice?
With curry?
That's pretty much it, though.
But that's the only thing we eat half the time. Chicken tikka masala is like every week.
That's true.
You'd think that we would figure out like, hey, these rice cookers aren't so bad.
Because like I remember growing up in the UK, whenever I'd like have my packed lunch or whatever, it would be like,
oh, you know, you'd never make rice for a packed lunch. It's the dinner thing.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Sorry, tea. No, fuck. Dinner. Yeah, it is dinner.
Supper.
Supper.
Whatever
tea,
you want to call
it. Northern thing.
Sorry.
Yeah, tea to me is the drink, you know.
Yeah, tea. I know.
As with most of the developed world,
tea for me is a twit longer.
awful joke.
I'm sorry.
But like I remember having this conversation with my mates, and they were like, "Wait, you eat rice every day with every meal?" And I'm like, "Yeah. Like you have it with every meal."
Yeah.
And they couldn't like wrap their heads around
you
it,
bougie motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. You eat rice with everything. Yeah. Everything. You don't take a break from rice. It's everything. I'm like, yeah. It's Asian cuisine. You literally eat rice with everything.
I'm sure the Asians are asking the same thing, being like, wait, you use bread with everything.
But also,
every meal is with bread.
It's bread or potatoes.
Yeah.
Is that it? Bread or potatoes?
Why not both?
Carbs on carbs.
I mean, I think it's grown a lot of popularity there in the last 10 years, especially
rice.
Yeah, not when I was growing up at all.
Yeah, it's become way more popular, like rice-based dishes in general. But I say finally.
What took them so long?
Yeah.
But I think there's enough dishes where people are making them, where a rice cooker, you know, people buy bread makers. People aren't making bread every fucking day. And those things are fucking massive.
Yeah, right.
My little rice cooker is like this big. But the point was, before I did this, I used to just buy the microwave packets. They're amazing. Like 300 gram packets, perfect portion, tastes great. Slap it on the plate, you're good to go.
Yeah,
amazing. I actually think those. I also survived without a rice cooker in university for a long time because the microwave packets were good enough. And the problem with a rice cooker, I find, is that rice goes off so fucking quick. So either you like cook a tiny bit of rice in this massive rice cooker, because I'm Asian, and of course, like if a mum buys you a rice cooker, it's like the biggest fucking rice cooker you can ever imagine.
How many families do you want to feed?
It's like this restaurant ones where it's like this big.
Luckily, there was a humanitarian crisis, but it wasn't for long because Gant had his rice cooker that his mum gave him.
Yeah, because like my mum like bought me a rice cooker for university. Because that's like one of the essential pieces of equipment that you need for university for every Asian kid that the mum provides.
Of course.
And they provide you a rice cooker that could survive a nuclear winter. You know, you cook.
I'm pretty sure you can like hop inside of it and survive a blast. Right?
Yeah, right. But the problem is, like, I would always cook too much rice or too little rice. Right. I would either like, it would be like either too much for the meal I was cooking, and I would have some leftover rice, or I'd cook too much rice, and like the rice just goes off so quickly, even if you put it in the fridge or something, because unless you're this is the Asian trap, right? Because with the rice cooker, you have to eat rice every day in order to eat all the rice that you cooked with the rice cooker, otherwise it's just gonna go off.
Exactly.
So that's why actually the microwave packets were just like the perfect portion for like one meal, and it was just like a lot less effort,
because then you have to like start experimenting. Like you look in your fridge and be like, all right, what can the rice go with that I haven't tried yet?
I wonder, can you dehydrate the rice that you've cooked to turn it back into a rice grain? Is that possible?
Well, I mean,
if you had the technology, I'm asking, is it possible?
Well, I mean, why, like, why I put it.
No, it's like popcorn. You don't turn back the popcorn to
its. Oh, that form is completely different, though. The rice stays the same. Yeah. I think if you took the water out somehow, maybe we could do it. Scientists.
I mean, my family, actually a lot of Japanese families, what they do is if they make too much rice, then you put it into like small, you know, like maybe microwave sized packets, and then you put it in the freezer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was also what happened as well.
Yeah, but it's like not the same. Like the next morning you wake up and be like, you know, okay, there's some leftover rice. If I don't eat it, my mom's going to fucking throw a hissy fit. So let's just get it out. Defrost that shit.
But there was no space in my freezer to put extra packets of frozen rice. Do you know why? As a university student, what happens when your mom comes over? She brings you eight like Tupperware boxes full of takeaway food. and then you gotta put it in the freezer and it lasts you the entire day.
Oh, the
entire fucking term. I was that asshole.
You know when you gotta share a freezer and that some fuck takes up the entire fucking thing because he decided that he was going to meal prep like an entire month.
Yeah,
and you're like, you're a cunt, you know that. Like, we got to share the freezer. Where is my Ben and Jerry's going to go?
Where am I going to put my vodka?
I just wanted one Ben and Jerry's in here. Is that too much to ask?
You gotta like start playing Tetris with all the rice packets.
Yeah.
No, because like my mom would come to visit me once a month in university, and every month she'd bring like two full like Sainsbury's worth of like takeaway boxes of
holy
food.
Shit.
And I'm just like that is I don't know.
How many people were in your like were you sharing one fridge with?
Like six or seven or something like that.
So at best you have half a shelf to yourself.
Yeah.
And then you have one. Like a freezer's even smaller.
Yeah, the freezer was smaller.
So you had like what, two items to put in the freezer? Yeah. God, you must have been hated. They must have hated you.
I probably was.
They probably hated you. I would throw a fit. I'd be like, Gaunt, mate, either you're sharing this with me.
Yeah.
That's my real estate. Or I'm putting stuff in there, dude. Like you gotta say
bye-bye.
You're
invading my property a little bit. I'm like, I'm gonna have to pull a shotgun on that.
You're gonna have to haggle with me here a bit. We've got to figure something out.
Oh god!
Yeah, what is like living with a Southeast Asian guy or girl? You know,
that's realized.
Whenever their parents come to visit, they just bring a shit ton of food. I don't know why. It's part of like
I feel it's just like an Asian in general. Not even.
Is it true with Japanese? Because I know it's true with like Southeast Asian and Chinese.
I know when families. I was living with. I know when I was living on my own. Still, my aunt used to come over and just like buy me a shit ton of food, and that was when I was house sharing with two other people. And yeah, I was also the asshole that took up like 80% of the freezer. So I knew very well.
If I'm co-hosting with these assholes, these barbarians. Filling up the fridge selflessly.
Hey man,
this is our turn to colonize. We're colonizing one freezer at a time.
I'm Welsh, dude. I'm Welsh, bro. What the fuck?
How's it feel now?
Welsh can't get a break, man. Fuck, dude.
Oh God. One freezer at a time. We're coming for your freezers, okay?
Fuck.
Did your parents send you care packages when you went to university?
If I say no, they might say otherwise. They might.
Like,
they
how dare you don't remember?
They might see this episode and be like, "We sent you things, Colin." I don't think they did. I want to say that no, I don't think so. I remember the last house I moved into in university. It was like we moved in. It was a bit beat up. It wasn't like great.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum was like mortified. She was like, "Oh my god, this place is a shithole." Oh my god, you can't live here. I'm like, it's not that bad. I'll get over it. I'll be fine. I just remember her reaction. She was just like, I thought she was actually going to be like, you can't. You have to find somewhere else. This is too awful. I was like, nah, it's fine. It wasn't even that bad. It was just kind of messy.
Is this the one in Swansea?
Yeah, but it was, and that one was the one that later had like rats.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think the rats were a part of the initial moving in thing. I think they joined later. They moved in with me.
They were the other roommates.
Mm. They weren't part of the package.
No, I didn't pre-order those, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, fuck. I'm trying to think that everything, I only ever had like white roommates, actually. Sounds bad. I guess in Swansea, there isn't much diversity. There was, I did have some friends here from like, from Chinese schools, but most of them didn't
like
speak
exchange students or?
They just, a lot of foreign students come to the UK.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a very like the UK has a lot of foreign students.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I mean, there's a ton of universities. Mm-hmm. I think there's one every city has two.
And yeah, you guys have like some of the highest universities as well.
Yeah,
right?
So and it's quite a lot of prestigious ones as well.
That makes sense.
Not Swansea, but you know, maybe another prestigious one. Maybe Oxford is full. And, I had some friends that were Chinese, but they didn't speak much English.
Right.
And that was such a, I can't remember his name. I did some projects with him in first year and he was like, didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Right.
So we kind of just helped We were like, we'll just help you. We'll just do it. And he was like, thank you. I'll return the favor. And then he never returned.
We never saw him again. And then he never returned
Never
the
saw him again, right? And then 2 years later, same engineering. I was like, oh my God, I saw him again. I was like, I do, man. And his English was a bit better at this time.
He spoke a bit more English.
Still wasn't like great, but it was pretty good. And he was really struggling with this thing. And we had a spare slot in our group. And we were like, just join ours because we're basically nearly done.
You'll get
a passing grade. Like, and he was like, oh shit, no way. And we were like, what do you do for fun? He's like, I'll show you. No, dead ass. We're like in the like computer libraries, just working on this thing. And this is when we like invited him to join us.
Yeah, right.
And we're like, we're just talking because he was sitting with us. And we're like, oh yeah, what are you doing? He's like, I'll show you. So he takes us outside. He just starts breakdancing. Just like insane.
Hell yeah.
Like insane.
Fuck yeah.
Insane. Because he didn't want to explain it or something. I can't remember what it was. He just starts doing like insane like flips and shit.
Yeah.
And we were like, we're like computer nerds and like engineers. And we're just like, what? What is this?
That's fucking awesome.
It was so bizarre. And then
the glow up, dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I love breakdancing. It's my passion and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, nice, dude. I'm nice. He's like, what are you gonna do after this? He's like, I don't fucking know. He's like, I'm just here until my parents drag me back. And I was like, all right, fair enough.
Breakdance my way to a degree.
And so he was like, by the way, I didn't forget. I wanna return the favor for you guys helping me so much.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't see him for a long time. Yeah. And then one day I was on the bus back to like my house and he was there. He was like, dude, let me return the favor for you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, sure. And so we go into town. He's like, look, my friend owns this boba store. And I'm like, of course. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be racist. Yeah. But I'm like, it makes sense that your Chinese friends own the boba store.
Yeah, of course, that makes sense.
My first time ever having boba. And he's like, yeah, you got to try this. This is amazing.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. You love tea? I'm like, yeah, I love tea. I'd never heard of boba before.
Right.
This is like 20...
Is this before it like exploded? Right?
Yeah, this is like
before
2015.
Before the boba explosion.
Yeah.
I'd never even seen this stuff. And they were putting these what I thought were balls into my drink, tapioca at the time. He puts them in, I'm like, I don't know, man. It looks kind of, this isn't like tea I've had before. and it's cold?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that. So I have this and he makes it for me and he's like, it's free of charge. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, all right, I'll give you like, I don't know how much this work would have cost if I charged you, but all right.
Free boba.
I was very grateful. And I drink it and immediately I like, I'm like choking on this fucking tapioca ball. I'm like, wait, you got a Heimlich maneuver me. It's awful. I like spat out the boba. I mean, the straw is so bad. I suck on it. And like the widest thing ever.
That is the widest story I've ever heard. White man tries tapioca
literally
for the first time.
Literally spat it out. And I was like, I'm so sorry. He's like, no, it was funny. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, but the milk part tasted good.
Can we
get rid of the balls? And he's like, yeah, we'll just make you another one without the ball. I'm like, no, you don't have to. He's like, it's free, don't worry. I'm like, okay.
I got you, bro.
I was like, oh, okay.
That's nice of him.
Yeah, he's very, very nice.
God, I remember when the fucking initial boba explosion happened in Japan.
How did that happen? Why did that happen?
That's so weird. It's like, yeah, the month we moved here, it was like every boba store, you would tell which boba store. What was a boba store? Sorry, if it had a line outside.
Dude, yeah. Right.
There were some boba stores near my house at the time where it was like legit. Like on weekends, it was legit like a 4 hour wait.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
I don't get it.
What?
I don't get it. It's just a bit of tea with some jelly.
Man, did that die?
Just, oh yeah.
It like fucking sped run death,
here. Dude. Is it speed run death?
I think
you never see lines.
You go to a boba store now. There's like maybe one or two people there.
That's true. Well, there's still a thing in the UK from what I can see. They still exist. The stores still exist.
I don't
exist.
Know. It's still around, but it's not the hype. The hype
it's just the hype. Rightly so, because I thought it was like overrated to fuck.
I think so too.
I didn't get what the craze around it was.
I mean, I drank a shitload of it during uni because we had like a boba store near like where we studied. But I get it. Yeah, but that was before the explosion.
It lasts a while because it's cold. So you can kind of just sip on it throughout the day if you get a big one.
Also, if you're a uni student, it's a great sugar rush.
Yeah.
It also keeps you concentrated.
I guess everyone after a while was like, in Japan at least, was like, all right, back to Starbucks now.
Yep, back to Starbucks.
Back to the way life should have been.
I just saw nothing but just iced tea or iced coffee. I don't know, maybe. to me, it was like...
But it's not fun. There's no personality.
I'm a hot boy. I like my drinks hot. I don't really like cold drinks that much.
They had hot boba too, though, right? I think.
Hop Over is just not the same.
It's not the same. Over? Yeah, I think they do, but it's not. It's not as good.
I believe you can order it with like no ice sometimes. Yeah. You know when you can customize
your
order.
That's lukewarm though.
Yeah, that's lukewarm.
It's like piss water.
Warm boba.
Yeah, warm, it's like pee
warm
water.
Boba.
Ugh. Gross.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what maniac would order warm boba, but it was an option in some of the boba stores I've been to.
If it was like a specialty, I'd be like, okay, if you say so.
Is that was that a secret menu? Did you have to wait?
Secret menu.
Did you have to speak Chinese to get that one? It's like, I'm a Chinese friend. Can I get the lukewarm boba? It's like, oh, so you know your shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how or why it exploded, but I remember it just like, not just in Japan, but just pretty much everywhere in the UK, everywhere in Thailand, you just couldn't get away from it. Like,
even in the States, just, I remember it was huge.
Like fashionable. I think it's just a fashionable drink.
Yeah, I guess so. And
it's Instagrammable. Like it's Instagrammable.
It was like, you know, let's be honest, 2014 was just the Frappuccino. That's what it was.
That's
right?
Yeah,
that came out, that was the thing. Everyone just wants a photogenic drink. And boba looked photogenic.
Yeah. But I feel Japan took that, like, the photogenicness of a boba and just, like, was trying to stretch it out to such a high degree where it's just so unnecessary.
It's like everything in Japan though. Everything is about taking photos. Like afternoon tea. I love my afternoon tea. It's the most British thing I've ever said. I really, really enjoy going for tea and having crumpets or scones. Whatever.
That is like a weirdly popular subculture in Japan, isn't it?
It is, but everywhere I've been just does it really badly.
Really?
Not badly. It's hard to say.
Not as good.
Like, to me, afternoon tea is just as much about like the food you get as it is the tea.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
The food isn't great here.
It's the food here looks so aesthetic.
But it doesn't taste good.
Yeah. That's literally all they do is they arrange it and they get these like beautiful colored things. And then you take one bite of the quiche, you're like, why does it taste bad?
Yes, I actually agree. So this is like afternoon tea is one thing that England does the best that I've had so far because the afternoon tea food is actually good. Whereas in Japan, every time I've had afternoon tea, it just looks pretty.
Also, it's got to be layered, right?
Yeah.
So like the layers are to distinguish the types of flavors.
Right.
Bottom is for sandwiches. Mm. Then maybe you get like the quiches or the more like savory kind of that kind of the dishes. It's always sandwiches
like pastries.
Bottom.
Yeah,
you get and so it's like savory,
and then you've got the sweets
at savory, the top. And then sweets.
Yeah.
But in Japan, it's sweets. Savory and also sweet, but it's like it's ridiculous. It's like this isn't because normally afternoon tea you kind of have it at like when you have it in the afternoon.
Yeah,
but you know if it's a good place you can only like skip lunch or dinner with it because it's pretty like it's quite a lot.
Yeah,
some places even refill.
Yeah,
in the UK they refill the sandwiches or stuff in some places, so you can just like you can chow down, dude.
Yeah,
and if
yeah.
you like the sandwiches or you like the whatever they're offering, dude, it's good. It's so good. You get money's worth.
Yeah,
expensive though. In London, it's very expensive.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
It's good. It's really good.
But it's an experience you're paying for, right?
Yeah.
One
thing I've only seen really in Asia as well, going off like the boba thing before, like I guess the boba craze.
It's the
most privileged
thing I've ever mentioned, by the way. I just realized that. It's also privileged me being like, the tea isn't good enough. It's disgusting.
No sandwiches.
Sorry. I mean, it's one thing I feel like Britain does well, so I think it's a good. It's
no Greggs, though, is it?
It's not Greggs. But yeah, like. Dessert cafes. That's one thing like I only saw in Asia.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if there is more dessert cafes in
dessert
the UK
buffets,
now.
Especially. Sorry? Dessert buffets.
Dessert buffet. What's that?
It's literally exactly that. Think of a buffet, but it's all desserts.
Yeah, because whenever I'd hang out with my like some of my friends in Thailand, they'd be like, "Oh, let's go to this dessert cafe." And I'm just like, "Wait." Like to me, growing up in England, dessert was something you have at the end of a meal at a restaurant, right?
Yeah.
You don't go to a specific place to eat dessert, right? That was that concept was just alien to me.
Yeah.
And like it still feels weird, right? Because I would like, if I want dessert after a meal, I would order it at the restaurant.
Yeah.
But like you go to a dessert cafe and it's like half a meal, you know? Yeah. you know? Cause like you never go to a dessert cafe after you finish eating at a restaurant.
Yeah.
But you go to a dessert cafe at like really weird times of the day.
Three.
And three or something. Yeah. And I go to a dessert cafe, I have the dessert and then it just fucks with my eating schedule because then I just don't want dinner.
Yeah.
But then
it
also doesn't fill me up as well. It's really weird.
So you get hungry at like 9 p.m. Yeah. You know? It's like a really weird time where it's like, oh, it's kind of too late to eat food.
Yeah, right.
But I know I won't be able to sleep because I'm going to get hungry.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, I don't want it. I don't know. I just don't feel satisfied if I've eaten a lot of something sweet. But when I eat like a savory meal, I just feel like happy.
I just feel sick if I eat too much sweet stuff now.
Yeah.
I was always like that though. Like I could never eat too, I liked sweets, but like I could never eat too much of it, because then I'd be filled up, but then that feeling of being filled up by sweet shit just made me feel really ill, which just made me want to eat regular food anyway.
Man, I said this like a year or two ago, but man, I still don't like themed cafes in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. They're like collaboration cafes.
The food, because of the food?
The food and drink is like a joke.
It looks good.
That's the thing, is that I hate the fact that we're turning like food impractical. We put a little, I went to the Square Enix one.
Mm. Oh yeah.
And then they made me a latte. And I was like, this latte tastes really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they put a slime on it. So I guess now it's worth $9.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
I've been to so many themed cafes because Aki loves going to them.
I know.
Because she makes content out of it. Yeah. So it's understandable. Yeah. But I think the only good one where I would actually go back for the food is the Kirby Cafe. And I know it's good I know it's good because
the biggest Kirby fan.
No.
Has the best food.
It does.
What a coincidence.
It legitimately does. And I know I'm not the only one who thinks that, because it was a temporary thing at fucking Tokyo Skytree, but now they made it a permanent thing. So you know, if a themed cafe turns permanent, that's how you know that the food is good.
Yeah.
Because if the food sucks, then people don't come back. There's a novelty to it that's really short-lived. And once you've like experienced all the food and you've experienced that themed cafe's like, you know, style and everything, and you've grabbed all the fucking merch you can, because there's always a merch shop attached to it as well, then you're not going
to
go back.
I don't know, because to me, it's like the food itself is the art.
Yeah.
Don't draw all over my steak. Don't reassemble the carrots to look like a smiley face.
But I think that's why I like the Kirby Cafe, because the Kirby Cafe, they don't fuck around with the food. They fuck around with the cutlery. So like the plates are like certainly shaped in certain ways, or like the cups are shaped in certain ways. Okay, but the actual food itself is normal once you put it on a regular plate.
I don't know if I'm like a Scrooge or something, just don't enjoy fun or whatever, but like I just don't want people like making faces or shit out with my food. I don't want my food to be like a toy.
No, I get that.
I'm exactly the same way, where if I go to a themed something of like something I'm a fan of, then I don't want them to fuck around with the food.
Right.
I just look, I'm here for a good time to enjoy the thing
merch,
I like.
Right? I'll buy the merch.
Give me like cool merch. Yeah. Give me like cool exclusive merch that I can buy.
What better way to get one with the show than to digest the show?
Oh, dude, like fucking typical example is when we went to the Bucky exhibit, right?
Yeah.
I saw this poster that was like, oh, just down the block, there is the Bucky Cafe, a Bucky themed cafe. God. And my friend and I were like, because, you know, it was like hitting around, you know, lunchtime, like early afternoon. We were like, all right, let's go check it out, right? Let's go see the menu. And I saw the menu and I was like, this is the laziest attempt at a themed cafe ever. One of them was like Retsukayo's Neapolitan pasta. And I'm like, when does Retsu ever eat Napoleon pasta in fucking Bucky?
It's like, they are really fucking stretching it. They're really stretching it to make it on brand. Yeah. On brand,
it's Mickey Mouse's world famous lasagna.
Yeah. It was like, one of them was like Yujiro's cappuccino. And it's like, it didn't even have Yujiro's face on it. It was literally just a cappuccino.
$9.
What makes this Yujiro?
Yeah, that's the thing about so many themed cafes I've been to in Japan, where they have a dish on the menu that's just like, you know, fucking Rin's special curry from Fate Stay Night. And I'm just like, when did this happen? How is this on brand? Why did you just add you literally just added a character to a random dish?
Yeah, exactly.
And you call it brand.
I find it like insulting. It's like you're insulting my intelligence.
Yeah.
You're insulting my fandom.
Yeah.
By like, you think I'm just going to buy this because you put this character on it? I'll take two. But
if you had put the fucking like Neapolitan pasta in front of me, I would have been like, oh, it's just the regular Neapolitan pasta. Like, do you think though, if they were like, but it's Retsukayo's Neapolitan pasta, then I'd be like, well, fucking sign me up then. I'm going to eat the shit out of this. Like,
this is why, like, when you go to like Wolfgang Puck's restaurant, he doesn't serve like fucking smiley faces on his steak. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want that. Like, I don't want this.
It's just like the steak just has like,
if you
the
went
initials.
To a really nice restaurant, yeah, there's initials burned into the steak. You'd be like, what the fuck is this? Is this a horse? Like, you branding it? Like, was it running away? Like, what's going on?
Like, this is our steak.
Yeah, like, I just don't like that. To me, it's like, it's such, if a food is done well, it itself is so beautiful, and I'll pay for it. And it speaks more.
But,
you know, just have the decor of the cafe. Have everything else be like
just
themes,
make just make like it like
everything else but the food. Like, yeah, don't just fuck just with that.
Have cool cutlery, have a cool vibe, you know, have a cool aesthetic, you know. Make it feel if, like yeah, you're
if
at
if
you're
if
at
it's
the
Kirby,
place.
Make it so that the toilet is Kirby and I can lift up his mouth. Yeah. And I can sit and shit in Kirby's
mouth. But like I think that's what I appreciated about the Kirby Cafe was that they didn't fuck around with the food. They fucked around with the cutlery, which you can then buy at the fucking merch store, right? Yeah, so it's like, oh cool, this is like a thing I can use in my kitchen and it's like kind of neat and dope and it doesn't have to, I don't have to make a fucking Kirby themed
you'll get
food,
to
right?
know if you come to Japan at some point. I'm sure there'll be tons.
Yeah, please. Yep. Like Kirby Cafe is great. But like,
there's always a bunch rotating. Yeah.
But like, you know, for like, for me, especially if when it's like cafes, especially that are like paired with like exhibits or whatever, right? It's just like, just give me some good merch.
Didn't they have the Pen Pineapple Pen Cafe?
Yeah, I went to
did
that.
Did they actually?
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Yeah, I made a video on it.
Yeah, yeah, you did, right?
Yeah, I made a video.
How long ago
on
was this?
When was Pen Pineapple Apple Pen? Like 6 years ago?
6 years ago.
I think it was like 2016. Yeah, they made
that's how popular it was. They made a cafe.
They made a pop-up of Pen Pineapple Apple Pen. I think it was at Tokyo Skytree or Tokyo Tower, whichever one it was.
Right.
But yeah, you go in and all of the menu items spelt out PPAP. Because that was the only. Yeah, they didn't even have any like pineapple or apple-based products. And I'm like, I feel like you really missed the ball
paprika.
Here.
It's paprika, right?
It was like a Pen Pineapple Apple Pen burger. And I'm like, what does this have to do with Pen Pineapple Apple Pen?
With zero pineapple in the burger.
Yeah, no pineapple in the burger. No apple.
That's good though. I don't like pineapple burgers.
I don't mind it if it's done well. But like even then, it's like they couldn't even put the effort to do that. And it's like, oh, the thing I felt the most sorry about was the fact that like I looked at, there was like two like clerks who were like standing behind the counter and they looked so dead inside because Pen Pineapple Apple Pen was playing on repeat in the store all day. I was there for like a couple of hours and I was like, by like minute 20, I was like, I want to get the fuck out of here. Just like, just shove a pen in my ear to just like blur out the sound. They looked so dead.
Well, that's kind of how I feel like all of the truck drivers who drive around like fucking Harajuku or whatever, and they have to drive around promoting these idols or whatever, latest album.
Have we spoke about? I swear we've mentioned it. There's these trucks that drive around Japan where they'll play music, really loudly.
They're called dekotora or decorative trucks.
They just blame you, and they're awful. Yeah. They're awful.
It's basically awful. Just like a moving billboard, basically.
Weird in Japan. You can't make noise in your own apartment, but anyone can make as much noise as they want on the street. It's really weird.
Yeah, right. Like someone can come around selling like hot potatoes and intrude our like streams.
People
running for government just scream in public.
Yeah.
It's just like, what year are we in? Where you don't you have like social media you could promote on?
No.
But no, I'm sure you're really connected with the youth of today by driving around a truck and screaming.
Like, what do they expect for like everyone to come out of their houses? It's like, guys, honey, wake up. It's the new politicians in town.
Even if it's older people, right? They're not going to get up to go outside to listen to you drive by.
Maybe that's why they're loud. Otherwise, they're not going to like hear it, right? So they just like broadcast. They broadcast all the houses.
Probably.
We're going to make it through the hearing aid somehow.
Trent's in an interesting spot where like, they have to, political people have to try and go towards the older generation.
Yeah.
So all the techniques they use seem like archaic as fuck, but it's the only way they can get elected. Because if you're not in someone's letterbox, they're not getting on Twitter. Exactly. Weird, isn't it? That like the whole political system is just catered towards
people. I just don't understand though is like, I'm sure they're like, you know, being loud as fuck, right, on the street, so that again, as you were saying, like it can reach the old people's ears, right?
Yeah,
because
a lot
of people, you know, as old age comes naturally, you become hard of hearing. Right. And yet these same old people can hear like the tiniest creak from upstairs and be like, oh my God, that's too fucking loud. How dare they walk so loud in my apartment? Meanwhile, I'm having a really hard time hearing this fucking politician on 17 megaphones just drive past my house. You know, I need them to turn up a little bit louder. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Well, like, are there any laws around like how much noise you can make in Japan?
Is it past 10?
Boston, because
it's something like that. I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
I feel half the time like people just don't follow those laws.
Yeah,
and there's like always exceptions to the rule. Like, you know, you could have like a bunch of like how come, you know, all these like loud ass bikes that like drive through like neighborhoods, you know, not be fucking called on by the cops?
Does your neighborhood have like a gang of old Japanese grandmas who are just like the real, like,
you know, what do you mean?
The leaders of that fucking street or whatever.
Because you have a house.
Oh yeah, I have a house. Yeah.
You're in like a neighborhood area.
I'm in an apartment. So
in an apartment as well.
Yeah, because Maylin like warned me about this before I was moving in the house, and she was like, "Be careful about the posse of old Japanese grandmas." And I'm just like, "What are you talking about, Maylin? What are you talking about?" And lo and behold, like now I've noticed like there is this group of Japanese grandmas who like seem to run the neighborhood. I don't know how this happened. I don't know why this happened, but you do one thing wrong. Like maybe you take the garbage out just a bit too early. You see them eyeing you, right? Yeah, I can tell. Anytime me and Sydney come out, like we like sometimes they're just like gossiping together.
Right.
And like
right.
You know when you could feel gossiping, someone gossiping about you? That's every time like me and Sydney go out of the house, and I they're always in the same corner. It's the same group of Japanese grandma. Yeah. And I remember
we should wave at them and say hi.
Yeah, you should. For those people, what I've learned is that you just need to be like ignorantly like happy and friendly towards them. Hmm. And then they'll start to be like, "Oh, maybe they're actually right. Maybe we'll take them off the hit list, you know?"
I feel like I've been put I was friendly enough, right?
It's the most moist thing.
Sorry. Speaking of it. Yeah, but I feel like I've been put on a hit list now because I did unfortunately take the garbage out on the wrong day. Oh. One day.
Being on a Japanese hit list is just like, yeah, I'll give you at worst a passive aggressive note one day.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, remember my old apartment, I got that English written note.
Yeah,
that's the worst you'll get. They say they'll kick you out, and that they'll tell the housing company.
And then I need Hongo Josu reverse Uno card, and then they shut up. Yeah,
the housing company's not going to kick you out.
No, of course not.
Unless you are actually taking the piss. But if you're just walking, they're not going to. Then the housing company's not going to give a fuck.
Yeah, about they'll be like, "Okay, Granny." Yeah,
they'll be like, "All right,
simmer down. Come on now."
So one day, like normally we take our garbage out either like the night before or like the morning of. I don't know what's custom in Japanese neighborhoods.
It depends on your area.
Yeah, normally it's like I think the morning of. Yeah. But I remember I woke up like slightly late that day.
Yeah.
So how it worked in my place is that the garbage is one day and then like the recyclables is the next day.
Yeah,
I think it's most places.
Yeah.
So I thought like I was just on the cusp of like getting the recyclables out on the right day.
Yeah,
because it's garbage, recyclables, then garbage again.
Yeah.
And so I thought I was just on the cusp. Maybe the garbage truck hadn't come yet. So I go out to the garbage spot and I see like some bags there. I was like, oh great! I still made it in time.
Yeah.
And so I put the recyclables out. Went back in my house and just continued about my day. And then I get a ring on my doorbell.
Oh no.
And I'm just like, oh, it must be a delivery or something.
Yeah.
And it's I open the door and it's three old Japanese grandmas just staring at me in front of my door. Yeah, I am serious.
Oh my god.
And I see my bag of recyclables right in front of my door.
Right.
And they nicely enough explained to me that it was that I had missed the time and it was just the wrong day to bring out the recyclables, but it kind of felt like some fucking loan sharks outside my door being like,
"It'd be a shame if this would have happened again."
Yeah.
It's like Repo Man. You do it again, we're taking everything.
So they are basically like the gangsters that run the neighborhood, you know? I felt like I just like missed out on the day on like paying the protection money of the day. It's like, shame what would happen if
America has the Crips and the Bloods. We have the grannies. Fear them. They control everything.
Yeah, they're the real, like, it's like the fucking Sopranos, right? You know, it's the Japanese Sopranos, right? The old Japanese grandma.
Did you take the recycling out today?
Yes.
I heard some really strict, crazy grandmas. You can get pissed off when, like, you know, on like cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
Like the Amazon labels and stuff. Yeah. They get like pissed off you don't take those off.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of some grandmas that get like, they're like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't make a difference.
No, yeah, of course not.
This is why I love living in an apartment building. I can just take it down whenever I want.
No recycling
day, no garbage day. It's like whenever you have garbage, take it down. Cardboard's the worst because when you're moving in, Mm. It literally is like Cardboard City.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like stacks upon stacks upon stacks. I'm waiting for the day when you're like, well, what's that in the corner, Connor? Well, it's the wall of cardboard, actually. It's one of the main attractions of the apartment. And I have so much cardboard, in fact, that I could probably, you know, house everyone in the half of Japan.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing where I remember when I was moving in, I felt like if you missed the day of the cardboard collection, then you were just like, you were just fucked, right?
Yeah. But also you feel like, am I taking the piss with this much cardboard? Like I have like a 2 meter high stack of cardboard. Am I taking up too much cardboard? Is that allowed? What's the limit on how much recycling I can recycle?
I remember the only time I had like a granny experience, when I was moving into my current place was when it was the first week I was moving in, and you know, it was like the shitload of cardboard thing. Right?
Yeah.
And cardboard day comes around. I'm just like, finally, here we go. This is where the cleansing starts. Yeah. Right. So I take out like way too much cardboard, like probably fucking half the Amazon rainforest worth of cardboard. Mm-hmm. Right.
Naturally.
And then the next morning I come out, you know, to leave for the office. Right. And a grandma like stops me. And, she's, right. And I'm like, oh no.
Uh-oh.
Whatever. Uh-oh. And she points at the mountain of cardboard and she's like, that's all your cardboard, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I mean, not all of it, but yeah.
Like, oh, come on, Lau, it's like 90%.
Yeah. Most of it. And she's like, I think that, you know, you're really causing the you know, rubbish people a lot of trouble with that much cardboard. And then I just reverse Uno card and I'm like, I moved in yesterday. Puts on sunglasses, walks off. But legit, she was just like, oh, I'm sorry then. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. But that felt good. That was the one time where I trumped the granny. I was like, you don't control it.
Silence.
Silence, woman.
You can actually, some moving companies are like, call them up.
Yeah,
and take the
cardboard. Yeah. I did that, but even they, I had so much cardboard that the moving company could only take so much.
Yeah.
Cardboard.
Yeah.
Because you know, I moved into a much bigger place and I needed to buy all this new furniture to fill up the space. So, yeah. But basically, it felt good. Felt good to reverse Uno card at granny.
Basically, you know, they think like organized crime in Japan is the Yakuza. No, just.
It's the granny.
It's the Japanese grannies in your neighborhood. Watch out. Make sure you don't piss them off.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to be having a bad time.
I've been living here for 60 years. I know every nook and cranny of these streets.
Literally the day after they came, I came back home and they'd slid this in my letterbox, just like the schedule of the garbage for like the week and the garbage collection.
Passive aggressive.
And I was just like, oh, this is, they're sending me a message. They're literally sending me a message.
Note and you're like, get this wrong again, you're dead. Yeah. Don't fuck it up again, God.
Gonna wake up in my bed with like a decapitated horse head or something. Like, don't get the garbage day right next time. Don't fuck up.
A dead salmon at your front door.
It's like, you better take this out on the right day.
What day does oily containers go, Garn? A shampoo bottle is not recycling, Garn.
Oh my God.
I love it. You have this like spreadsheet of like items that very specifically cannot be recycled and stuff.
I have an app for it, dude.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like our ward created an app being like, if you put in a certain item, it tells you exactly what day to bring it out.
You know what sucks is that there's like some items you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like styrofoam, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where if you had the packaging that's like thin, it's like a paper styrofoam.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck is this? Is this burnable? Is this paper? Is this
plastic?
I don't know what this is. This is a mystery. And every time I ask anyone, they're like, I have no idea. I think it's burnable, but no one's like 100%. They're like, everyone's like, dude, it's not going to matter. Just put it in the burnable.
That's the thing. It's like, there's all these rules that are laid out that like the grannies will enforce you on. But like, when you put it all into a fucking bag and just put it out.
I heard that apparently the recycling, even though they make you sort it very strict, that actually when it goes to the plant, apparently, I don't know how true this is, that it's not actually like, they don't recycle it as well as you think they are.
Yeah. I would believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, fair enough.
Yeah.
But... fuck, dude. I one time I went down to my recycling thing in my current place.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I was putting out my bottles and the bottle thing, and I noticed that there was like 10 plus Bombay Sapphire gin bottles.
Right.
And I was like, who has drank this much Bombay Sapphire? This is a lot of gin.
It wasn't you, right?
It wasn't me. I was going to say.
I thought that was like.
As another person who enjoys Bombay Sapphire gin, I was like, huh, I wonder who's bought this much Bombay. Well, I'm going to keep saying it. It's very satisfying. Yeah. Bombay Sapphire
gin. Clearly, there's another British person in your building.
I was like, either somebody's running a bar secretly in their apartment that specializes in Bombay Sapphire cocktails.
Or someone had a good night.
Or there's a really depressed British person somewhere in this apartment building who is really, really spending a lot of money on gin.
Yeah.
I just thought, why would you have this many? They were all neatly stacked. Right. And like almost like a Jenga-esque stacking style. I'm like, right. This is definitely one person who brought. I wonder, did they collect them for a long time? They thought, no, this is ridiculous. I can't collect this many bottles. Because some people keep their alcohol containers afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a memory, but yeah. I guess when you drink too much, you're like, yeah. Okay, this is just.
How many Bombay Sapphires is too many?
I just thought, I was like, this is a lot. I'm like, yeah. What's going on here? I wonder, I was like, what a weird trash. Do you ever see people's trash and you think, what's going on?
Oh,
what's
yeah.
On, what's
yeah,
going
yeah.
on with that?
Many yeah. times. I remember the weirdest one I saw was it was a vacuum cleaner mm-hmm. that had been perfectly cut in half down the middle. And I was like, how did that happen?
Someone's like, damn, man, I just want to see what's inside.
Yeah, it was like a Dyson. It was like the body of a Dyson, but it had been perfectly split down the middle. But there was only one half. That's and I'm like, impressive. Where did the other half
sounds
go?
Like a serial killer shit.
Yeah.
Just one half.
Yeah. It was only one half. And I was kind of, I was like, for like 5 minutes, I was kind of like looking around and seeing like, I wonder where the other half is. I couldn't find it. So he's either kept the other half or I've witnessed some crucial evidence of a crime scene or something. Like I don't know
so
what.
Specific.
It was the weirdest thing. At least I was like, oh, well now I know what's inside of a Dyson.
It's like something you see for like a YouTube channel.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, what happened?
What's inside of a Dyson?
What's inside of a Dyson? Yeah. What if I cut this Dyson in perfect? In
I just want to know how they did it. They must have like, it's either someone has a laser cutter inside of their house or they just went ham with a saw. I don't know what it was.
Either they have a saw in their house yeah. or it's somewhere else and then they brought half a Dyson to your apartment building and then they decided that they are done with half a Dyson and that they're going to throw it away.
It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen.
So annoying having to get rid of big stuff in Japan.
It is.
You buy those stupid stickers from the konbini and then you can't throw out a, if it's bigger than I think 30 centimeters in my apartment. Yeah.
Something like
which
that.
Which is nothing. There's so many things that are 30 centimeters or bigger. And if you want to throw it away, you have to book. And it's normally like 3 weeks away, if you're lucky.
Yeah, usually it's like a month.
So normally, now I figured out a genius strat, which is just break the thing down to below 30 centimeters.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you know how like in the prison movies, right? When they escape from prison, that they start dumping the soil one by one in the courtyard or something.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you gotta break this cabinet into like small pieces and slowly recycle it every week.
I saw that the other day, actually.
People do it because they don't want to deal with it. Because this shit is so annoying.
Someone had disposed of an office chair one part at a time.
I get it.
That's so genius.
I remember seeing, like, I would go take the garbage out. And one day I saw, like, the bottom half, so, like, the wheels part. And I'm just like, why is someone just getting rid of, like, the fucking wheels part? Yeah. And then the next week I go to put the garbage in again. And it's, like, the seat. then it's the seat. And I'm like, oh, someone's just playing Jenga with office chairs. And then next week, lo and behold, it's like the backrest.
It's slow, but it's effective.
This is the exact reason why I bought a saw. I'm not kidding. I bought a saw just to saw shit in half so that I don't have to deal with this.
I had like a lot of wooden shit and I'm just like, I'm not paying to get rid of this fucking wooden plank. I'm just going to saw this bitch in half.
But it's
like,
also annoying because you have to measure it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's even a little bit off, they won't take it.
Yeah.
And then you need to wait another 3 weeks. And buy those stupid sticker things again. I don't want to do this.
Like a metallic like coat hanger or coat rack kind of thing. And of course it was like way too big, even if I took the parts off. So what did I do? I put it back up. I put it on my balcony and just let the weather wear it down as much as possible to the point where I could just snap it in half.
You let it rust.
I just let it rust to shit and then I grab the saw or like just snap it in half to the size. I'm like, perfect.
Just let nature take its course. Erosion.
Like 3 months later, I was like, "All right, I can finally."
Sounds like the worst way to recycle something, but I respect the effort you'd go to not deal with the bureaucracy.
Yeah, dude. It probably would have taken just as long to fucking book a time to throw this fucking coat hanger out.
I just don't want to deal with it, you know.
I just wait for someone to come over and be like, "Do you want this shitty thing? I don't need. Just take it."
Dude, they made me feel like such a bastard for using batteries. Like I just want to use some AA batteries, and they make it seem like I was using like some kind of radioactive material. The way they make it get rid of it, I'm like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever like properly gotten rid of my batteries, right? Because I'm just like, okay, I'll get rid of them next time, the other time. So I have like a fucking drawer just full of like used dead batteries that I've not been able to get rid of because
that is the most troll drawer in existence.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, I'm sure we've got a whole drawer full of batteries sitting here. Yeah. Go and grab a pair. None of them are working, Gant.
That's what you should do is like a joke. Just be like, just get one like actually working battery and put it in that drawer and be like, there is one working battery.
Find the working
battery. Good luck. I mean,
I'm going to get rid of it someday, but just like, I just keep forgetting the day to get rid of the batteries
properly.
It's
like the most fucked up saw trap. There's one working battery. You have 15 minutes.
Find the working battery.
Oh my God.
I don't really use a lot of batteries, but for a lot of the filming stuff that we have.
Yeah, it's basically all for the filming
it's
stuff.
It's all
yeah.
for like yeah. mics, camera accessories. It's all batteries. It's really annoying because you have to get batteries for that and it kind of sucks. I was like, get rechargeable ones. It's like, yeah, but I always forget to recharge.
Yeah, but then if you get rechargeable ones, you forget to recharge before the shoots, which is
And luckily you can buy AAA batteries like everywhere in Japan. So pretty good for that, which is pretty good. Always done well.
Anything else you guys been up to this week?
Just trying to think.
We watched anime. I finished Odd Taxi.
Oh, you finished Odd Taxi? Yeah. That's surprising. Did you watch it in subbed or dubbed?
Subbed. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
A very fun show. I don't know how they're going to make a movie.
Oh, yeah, they are making a movie, aren't they?
Yeah, I was surprised when they announced that they were making a movie just because it felt like it just wrapped everything up.
Yeah, I was like, we're done, aren't we?
Also, it weirdly seemed like, I didn't think it was as popular on the surface as
it
made it out to be. I watched it, yeah. I ended up watching it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Oh, have we never talked about it?
I don't know. I thought I told you I finished it.
No, you didn't. No, I would remember.
It's because it's so rare.
I would remember if you told me you'd finished an anime, Joey. What the fuck?
I liked it.
I liked it. It was good.
I liked
But yeah, again, like I was surprised not only because, as you said, like the show wrapped up nicely where it was like, how are they going to make a movie out of it? Yeah. But also it's like, I don't know. I feel Odd Taxi was one of those shows where like it got really popular from word of mouth.
Yeah.
Where like, is it like, I was like, did it really get that popular to warrant a movie?
I don't know how popular it got because I remember when I made my video on it, I was just like, I made it because no one was talking about it at all. And
I thought it was kind of like the underdog. I mean,
everyone who watches it, I know, likes it.
It's a great show. But that's the thing. It's like, it's one of those shows where like, I feel you start watching it because someone who gave it a go was like, it was really fucking good.
Yeah, I feel like it had a similar arc to Made in Abyss because when Made in Abyss came out, it just, no one was watching Made in Abyss at all because everyone saw the art style and everyone was just like, oh, this is a children's show, which couldn't be more further from the truth, honestly. But then like-
There's a lot of children in the show.
I mean, yeah, it is a children's show in some sense of the word.
It's one for the kids.
One for the whole family.
They can relate. The children can relate. The children can relate. Which is- but yeah, I mean like it kind of like that was another show that really spread through word of mouth and then it eventually like it won like anime of the year it came out as well. Odd Taxi I feel had a similar thing where it didn't really have much promotion or anything like that. At least not that I could see outside of Japan. In Japan it actually had some kind of decent promotion because every time, I remember when it was airing, every time you go in a taxi, they would have an Odd Taxi advertisement
did
playing.
Really?
Yeah. Did you not see?
No, I didn't really.
Like they'd always have it like playing in like, you know, the little TVs that they have on the back of the taxis.
Did they?
Yeah. At least I did. I saw a
bunch of them. I didn't go on enough taxis to know.
Did I talk about Tokyo Revengers? I watched that.
I think
you have not talked about Tokyo
Avengers.
Have we not?
No. Maybe not on episode.
Well, I was trying to watch all the animes of the year that were nominated.
When did you get time to watch anime?
Just, I mean, an episode here and there. It's very sporadic.
Right.
I was like, oh, Sunny Boy looks kind of shit. I didn't.
Yeah, really. You're not going to enjoy Sunny Boy.
I looked at it and I was like, oh yeah, it's for those anime fans that think that they're really intelligent and want something deep.
Your IQ wasn't high enough.
But at the end of the day, they're just anime fans.
I'll tell you who would enjoy Sunny Boy. I think you would really enjoy Sunny Boy. Actually.
What? Okay, you're not the first person to say that for some reason. I don't know if I should be offended.
There's this category of shows And to me, I took one look at Sonny Boy, and I was like, oh, this is what fucking Reddit anime fans are going to be like. This is the best anime of the year, actually.
I listened to two soundtrack songs from it, and I was like, okay, if the soundtrack is as good as the actual show, I think I'm going to enjoy this.
I just cannot stand shows where I feel like people like it just to be pretentious.
Right.
And that's like one of those shows that like I felt like the fans make me want to not watch it and despise it more than the show.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, like, I don't even know if I enjoyed Sonny Boy. It's a really fucking weird show, and it left an impression on me. Whether I enjoyed it or not,
that sounds like something I would enjoy.
Yeah, I watched it, and I'm just like, this is such a Joey show. And then, like
what would you give it out of 10?
I don't even fucking know. Like, it's still sinking in. It could be like, it's one of those.
What does it fucking mean? What is it?
I got the perfect analogy. Have you watched like Donnie Darko?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I like Donnie Darko.
What did you like about it?
God, it's been so long.
Exactly.
I remember I liked it. It's been a very long time since I watched Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Okay, so it's kind of like
Can you watch it so then I don't feel bad about shitting on it? Because right now I just feel like I'm shitting into the void. It's like 86.
Sonny Boy?
Yeah. It's like 86. When I shit on 86, I thought, no one's going to contest me on this. Turned out everyone
got
really fucking angry that I didn't like 86. But to be fair, I watched 8 episodes of that and it was boring as shit. Yeah. That's 86's fault.
Sonny Boy is just 12 episodes. Okay. It's like, what actually like, because I remember watching the first three episodes of Sonny Boy, I thought it was boring as fuck. I thought it was like boring as fuck. Okay. This is like,
holy shit, I'm going to be like,
this is like fucking art house, fucking pretentious shit. And then like the soundtrack got recommended to me and I'm just like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
This soundtrack just like is everything I want. It's like, a lot of soft rock, alternative rock in the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I mean, you listen to some tracks and I'm just like, I kind of want to watch this show just because of the soundtrack.
I found it because I was buying a bunch of vinyls and on the front page of the store, the online store that I go to buy my vinyls, it just would not leave the front page. And I was like, what is this Sonny Boy thing? So I went onto YouTube real quick, looked up one song and I was like, yep, sold.
This is lit. And that's like, the best thing I can say is like the soundtrack just sets the vibe of the anime.
Okay, yeah.
Where it's less about the plot points and it's more about the feeling that it gives you.
So did you end up finishing it?
I did end up finishing it. I mean, like, I finished it and I didn't know what to think about it, but I knew like some of the ideas presented in Sonny Boy, it's just kind of like, it's one of those shows that you don't know exactly what you think immediately, but I just remember some scenes.
So it's kind of like Fooly Cooly in that sense?
Yeah, kind of like Fooly Cooly.
Right,
Where it's just like Fooly Cooly, Donnie Darko, that kind of thing, where you watch it and you're like, I don't really know what I watched, but some parts of it just really stick with you and just refuse to leave.
Right.
And that's how I feel with Sonny Boy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Do you think it deserved to be nominated for an anime of the year?
I don't think it deserved to be nominated for anime of the year.
Didn't it win like the Reddit one though? Like the Reddit anime?
Yeah, no.
Of course it did.
No. It won the
art house pretentious type of anime.
It won the Reddit, not the user, not the user award.
Oh, the critic. Yeah.
The critic award.
Oh my God.
which does not help its image at all. The Reddit armchair critics gave it the award for like anime.
I hate bashing on low hanging fruit, but I mean, there is sometimes normally an indication where I'm like,
I mean, like,
you know, whenever I say like Donnie Darko is one of my favorite movies, I'm waiting for it. Like, I'm like dangling the low hanging fruit.
I mean, not normally Joey. Okay, Joey's normally that guy in our podcast who's like the pretentious media guy.
I am.
With Donnie Darko, did you like it immediately?
No.
No.
I only liked it maybe after like my second or third viewing of it.
I was so young when I watched it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was the problem. Like when I first watched it, I was like maybe like 13, 14 years old, right? Yeah. And when you watch those kinds of movies at 13, 14, you don't know what the fuck's going on. All you think is, oh, creepy bunny, wow.
Yeah.
But then I watched it again when I was like 17, 18, which is like the peak of pretentiousness when it comes to consuming media.
I definitely had that phase as well.
Yeah.
Do you understand Donnie Darko?
only after I watched like a fuckload of like analysis videos on it.
Right.
But like I had a friend who recommended me Donnie Darko during like high school or like middle school.
Yeah.
Who was like a massive fan of it. So like he would tell me like his theories on it, and we would kind of like bounce off ideas. And I'm like, I think that's the reason why I like a lot of those kinds of media, because it's like, especially when you have another person or like a group of people to like discuss it and like kind of like theorize and hypothesize, like, oh, this might be this or this might be that, whatever, right? Like that's kind of fun. And then, you know, once you actually like sit down and like read into what it's actually about according to the creator or whatever, then you just realize, oh, it's not as deep as all these fucking pretentious critics made it out to be.
My favorite thing is when people like speculate about media and stuff, and then the creator is like, no, that's not it. Like, no. And then they're like, no, I don't think you understood what you did. I think it's actually this, sir.
It's literally the Evangelion.
Yeah, it's the Ava. It's
literally like, no, I'm not. Yeah. My theory is right, please. I think those anime that don't appeal to me as much, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, yeah, and I totally don't blame.
No, like it doesn't even appeal to me. It's just like I have to be like in a really specific mood that comes along once a year or once every 2 years, where I'm just like, I just want to watch something and just not understand it and make me feel things
I mean, the thing I like about this podcast is that the viewers can like align their who they trust's opinion on a show based on what type of media they like.
right.
So if you're like more to me, I'm like, and I'm like, I don't like 86, and I'm like, you shouldn't then trust my opinion for other anime.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause that show weirdly is like, people are obsessed with it and I just didn't enjoy it. And I didn't know anything about the series. I didn't know anyone was talking about it. I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, I think part of being a good critic, at least, or like, or talk like on the online, at least, or part of being a good critic is acknowledging that you have taste. Because people look at like people who talk about media online, and they should be like, you should be able to judge every single piece of media objectively, equally. You know, you should be able to judge them with no bias. And I'm just like, that's complete bullshit.
Yeah. You're not a fucking robot.
Yeah, like when I look at, you know, for example, like Donkey, for example, when I look at one of his video game reviews, I know exactly what his taste is.
Yeah.
And that gives me a better perspective than a lot of fucking IGN reviewers, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because at least when Donkey, like I think recently, like I saw his review of like Horizon Forbidden West, and like he shattered
it.
not completely like compared to some JRPGs, for example. But like I saw his criticisms, and I was just like, wow, that this is like, I can completely understand why he feels this way, and I can, and like, but me knowing what kind of gamer he is, I understand, and that gives me a better perspective of what this game is like compared to a lot of other critics. And
I would say like the best critics online are the ones where you continue to keep watching even though you disagree with most of their opinions.
Yeah.
Just because like their opinion holds, like even though you don't agree with it, they explain it and they're articulate enough and they're honest enough with what they like, and the fact that, you know, there's no way to completely get rid of bias with anything.
Yeah.
And they own that, and you're like, well, you know, I knew before coming into this review that you were probably going to think a certain way about it, and I might not agree with it, but I respect the fact that you can still stick to this.
Yeah, because it's just like probably everything I like in a game, Connor's going to complain about. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like
vice versa, probably.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, and vice versa, you know. But that just comes with our taste in games.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's fine.
The same could be said about anime and stuff. As well. I think I cut you off there.
I didn't know what I was even going to say. Yeah. Tokyo Avengers is okay. I really liked the first half, and then it got really shit.
And now he's going to have Tokyo Avengers fans on his throat.
Tokyo Avengers was, like, I saw the first four episodes and I'm just like, this is a read the manga show. Like,
I definitely felt that.
You know what I mean? Like,
there's like a fight at the end. Mm. Have you watched all of anyone watched all of it here?
I watched the first like two episodes.
There's this fight that goes on for like nine or eight episodes at the end. And it is like the dumbest fight I've ever seen in my life.
That sounds like some Aizen shit, dude.
And it's like just constantly, it is literally the fight of wait, there's more.
Yeah,
like something happens, wait, there's more.
Yeah.
Wait, there's more. And it's like, this is stupid. Just just fucking resolve it. This is ridiculous. This isn't Dragon Ball.
Yeah, it's like every Dragon Ball fight.
This story has been somewhat concise. Yeah, they drag on a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
They have had some long fights, but never more than 4 or 5 episodes, I think.
Yeah.
It felt like this last fight in particular just took the absolute piss.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like, this is just stupid.
Yeah.
And it had a good cliffhanger. Mm. But like the last, I was so bored for like 4 episodes.
But it doesn't matter, man. All the characters are hot as fuck.
But like, yeah,
according to the fan base, they make these characters.
And like, yeah, I like some of the characters in the show, but my God, are so many of them insufferable. And like, I just, God. I mean, I like the show. I thought it was good, but fuck, man. I felt like it blew its load and then it just like,
Is it even over?
No, it's not over. And I feel like where they left it was pretty good, and it might pick up, but like, it just felt like every single time something happened, it was like, oh my God, there's more. Oh my God, there's more.
I don't know. Like, I know this is going to sound really unfair, and this is totally my bias, but like, I think I only managed to make it through like the first 2 or 3 episodes because I immediately saw what kind of theming they were going for with the story, you know, like just like a bunch of dudes just like, you know, fighting, you know
it is weird as well,
good like, stuff but I hate the fact that the moment I knew where the story was heading, in my head I was immediately just like, I'd just rather read Baki, to be honest.
Like, you know, I was kind of pissed off as well that like all of these kids are like 13, 14.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, why not? Why? Just make them 17. It would make this story so
but
much more.
But isn't it weird that
it would
you
make
felt
so
that?
Much, make so much more
but
sense.
But here's the thing. Isn't it weird that you felt that about that show, and yet you see Hanayama Kaoru, who's 14 years old, and you're like, perfectly understandable. Have a nice day.
Because it makes, it, for some reason, it checks out. Like, yeah, right. I'm like,
It's so weird how it checks out, though.
I don't doubt it, right? Yeah. Because Baki never asks me once to like actually believe this world is a real world.
Yeah.
Just completely is like, listen, bro. This is literally like the equivalent of an internet forum like debate where you're like, can Goku beat Saitama? Yeah. Like that is Baki, right? Like it never once asks you to be invested in this world.
That's true.
Whereas like Tokyo Revengers for me felt like it was trying to get me to get invested in the gangs and the culture
right,
and stuff. And it's like,
I see.
But at the same time, how are you gonna make me believe that this is how 13-year-old and 14-year-olds react, that they drive motorcycles, they do all this shit, and it's like they're willing to like rob and kill each other. Listen, if you made these kids 18, they can still be in school.
Yeah.
All of this would still make sense.
Yeah.
And it's like, just do that. Why?
Well, that's like basically 90% of anime where it's like, they don't need to be that age because nobody actually, their age actually acts like them.
This is one where I actually felt like it was to a massive detriment that they were like super young.
Mm. Yeah.
And this every single plot
because
point
in
this
story. Because
it just
made it unbelievable, right?
Not so unbelievable, but like it made it so to the fact that you're like, it's constantly asking you to just have this level of disbelief to give it like, okay, I guess this is how 14-year-olds would react and respond to this situation. And it's like, just add on 4 years. They're still in school. Mm. This can work in college. It all still works.
Yeah.
The universe totally works.
It can work when you're an adult as well.
And now they can ride motorcycles, no question about it. This is in Japan.
Yeah.
No one is breaking the law in Japan. People don't even like... The only law they break is stealing umbrellas. That's literally it. That's all they do. They don't do that. That's
pretty
all they
much.
Do.
Yeah, pretty much.
No one is going to... How the fuck are they going to get a motorcycle at 13 here?
I feel like when I... Like, the last time I felt that... Like, when I felt like the characters just weren't acting their age at all was when I watched Erase.
I was going to say...
Erase was just like, man, these 5-year-olds... How old were they? Like, 5, 6,
They're like 9,
they're like 9-year-olds acting like, you're like, 3...
They're like, yes, using the forms of relativity and quantum mechanics, we can actually predict when we will re-enter into space-time continuum.
They were, like, more capable than, like veteran detectives in the force and all this shit, and I'm just like, bro, these are like 9-year-olds and they're acting
that's,
like
that's
grown
why
adults.
That's why I just couldn't get into Erase. This is the exact same thing where I'm like, this 9-year-old like girl is like solving mysteries that like fucking 30-year veterans can fucking crack.
I know we've ranted about this before and stuff, and that we've talked all about the age and stuff, and I do understand that like a lot of shows I don't give a fuck, like it's totally fine,
it's fiction,
it
it's whatever,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but like again, there are some shows like Erase where I feel like doing this is just completely to the detriment of the show, and it makes you suspend belief beyond reasonable doubt.
Yeah,
I don't know.
There's a lot of
one of the shows where I'm like,
that.
This is just stupid.
I mean, like, there's also like Your Lie in April as well, where a big thing that took me out of the show is like, I feel like they were in middle school or something, right? I think they're 14,
yeah.
15. But like everyone talks like a fucking poet. You know, everyone, you know,
the writing needs to match the age.
Yeah, that's
I don't give a shit if you put him in the school.
Yeah.
You got to write 13-year-olds like 13-year-olds.
Dude, Corsair was talking like fucking Mozart was back then, you know? And it's like, dude, you should be, you're 15. When I was 15, all I was thinking about was poo poo pee pee. Yeah. Like,
that's all I think about now. That's all I think about now, you know?
So you are way more sophisticated than you should be for a 15
year old. Yeah, this guy like came out of the womb speaking in sonnets and all this shit. Like he was studying Shakespeare by the age of 3. Like my God, like that took me out so much. And it was a small thing, but it was just like, you could have easily made them at a higher age to make them feel like they were, you know, they had the ability to speak like this, but it was just, they were 14 years old. And that was the biggest thing that worried.
It's annoying. Cause sometimes it shows where like they write the characters like 17-year-olds. They act and talk like 17-year-olds. Mm. They behave like 17-year-olds. Why not just make them fucking 17-year-olds?
That's why I think to this day, the most perfect example of like a perfectly age and, you know, a character's acting age appropriate in a super realistic way was Golden Time. Because it was like, they were in college yeah. and yet they were super immature like most college students are. Like that's like a realistic character. That's why I love Golden Time. Yeah, and that's why that show was so good and it was so immersive because it's like, yeah, I know people who are like this in college.
It's such a breath of fresh air to have something in college.
Yeah. But they were acting more like high school students than most high school students were, you know, in other shows. And it's like, it's so fucking ironic.
Yeah, like that's what I feel like. That's why to me, even now, Golden Time is like one of my favorite romances in all of anime. Just because it actually felt like these were believable characters set in a world that felt like it was based in reality and not in this anime world where 15-year-olds are
15-year-olds are doing quantum physics.
Yeah, 15-year-olds are doing quantum physics. Like fucking, I mean, you look at fucking like Naruto and Sasuke, like they-
Hunter was another one where I felt like they got the character's ages, like actually reflected their personality, you know?
Yeah.
Like Gon was an idiot, but like a fucking idiot. Like he would like be convinced to do stuff by strangers.
Like a child.
Like a 13-year-old, unfortunately. Yeah. No one over the age of 18 is hanging out with Hisoka, you know what I mean? Like, let's be honest.
For good reason.
Everyone can tell he's a creep. But Gon's like, oh, he's talking to me. Okay, I'll talk back. You know? I mean, like I appreciate it when shows like actually treat the characters like their age.
Mm. Yeah. No, because like a lot of people, like for example, Naruto, like a lot of people forget that like in the OG Naruto,
he's like 10.
They're 11 and 12 years old.
Yeah.
And like you look at some of the shit they go through, like Sasuke's like trying to revenge his entire fucking clan at the age of 11. 11. He's doing that, right?
This man's listening to too much My Chemical Romance. Right. Get off that shit.
I'll avenge my fucking Big Mac if someone slaps it out of my hand when I'm 11. So I believe that, actually. I was a very petty
most 11-year-old. Realistic character. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just kind of wish that it would change a little bit. And you know, and that was one of the main reasons why I was a bit harsh on Tokyo Revengers. And that's why I got more annoyed at it, because it felt like it was just getting stupid right now.
I mean, I don't know if I'm just like fucking, I've just seen so much anime that I'm just like immune to this shit. But just like, it's very rare that a character's age really comes into like any kind of specific plot point or any bearing on the plot itself. Because there's no like, it's so hard to tell a character's age in anime based on just their looks and their actions, because the range of anime characters from like 13 to fucking 28, they all look the same and they all act the same. Yeah. It's almost
kind
of, like
kind of like Japanese people in real life, isn't it?
Maybe that's why.
Right?
They turn into adults.
Yeah, like you look at it, like you look at a, like a Japanese girl, and you're like, you can be 12 or 30.
Did you see as well?
And I'm kind of afraid to ask
as well for the Tokyo Revengers. They made an uncensored version. Where because they use the temple symbol a lot,
which
is unfortunately is you know a swastika manji turned.
Yeah,
and really unfortunate. And then they just
had to censor that.
They made a censored version where they just don't use the symbol
it's in
much.
The title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. In some ways, I'm like, I mean, I feel like they didn't need to do that, but I also kind of get it why they wanted to just be careful.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
I can see why they did that. It's unfortunate, but I mean, with how international anime is now, a lot of people could have taken it the wrong way, which was
a good moment to learn about another culture and learn.
Yeah,
about,
right? Yeah, yeah. Be like, why are they using that?
You'd be like, what the fuck? I'm going to Google, is this okay? Yeah. And then you see it. To me, when I first saw it, I was like, whoa. And then you Google it, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's only been a symbol. It's been around for like 3,000 years.
A lot longer, yeah. It's very unfortunate.
Did they censor it in Naruto as well? Because I remember Neji's clan symbol that he had on his forehead or something was originally based on that, I believe.
I don't know.
There's a lot of shows that I think use those symbols. And
yeah, because it means like
it means peace.
Yeah, peace, right? Peace. Oddly enough. It's a Buddhist, right? It's very unfortunate. Which that is the dichotomy of meanings.
Yeah. Neji has like cross.
Oh, it's a cross? Okay.
Unless that's the censored version.
Wait, is that the anime version? What is that, the anime version or the manga version?
It was the anime version.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
the manga version.
What was the manga version of that?
Let me check.
Essentially, they made a whole version where they added it, and then a whole nother version where they just went through and got rid of it.
Yeah.
Really odd.
Yeah, never mind all the violence.
I feel like if you're just going to get rid of it, just get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's not going to be a big, it's not going to be that big of a deal. But
it's
I guess,
uncensored one for you cultured individuals out there.
Cultured?
Actually cultured. in a different religion.
Yeah, yeah. So like in the manga, it was literally the manji type.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So yeah, it was
censored.
I get it. If you want to avoid the misunderstanding,
I get it. And
have the awkward guys. We promise. Yeah. Look
we
it up.
Promise. It's not a Nazi.
It's the same thing with the Google Maps issue. Changed the
mind. Oh, yeah. Because on Google Maps, they use that symbol to mean
a
temple.
I have that on mine. I'm on English Google Maps.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah, it's on
there. Other languages? I swear to God, on my Google Maps in English, I still see the symbol.
Oh.
Because it was an issue like a couple of years back because I was like, what is this on the Google Maps?
Maybe if you're like not in Japan.
Yeah.
I feel like it's on the person who comes to Japan to educate themselves.
Kind
of. Yeah, because they're the ones that are going to throw a hissy fit and look like an idiot.
Yeah, like,
I understand. It's a very unfortunate thing, obviously, with whom Japan allied themselves with.
Yeah.
I can understand why the mistake might be made.
It's scary how 45 degrees changes everything, you know?
Right?
It's just a slight shift. Just completely changes everything.
The power of 45
degrees. The power of angles. The power of angles, dude.
You either want peace or you want something that's definitely,
definitely
not
the opposite of peace.
Buddhism, I took a class on this. Buddhism doesn't actually distinguish between the orientation and like which direction the swastika is facing. So technically all of them mean the same.
Right. But yeah, I mean, most people wouldn't know that though. Yeah.
You know, like obviously when I saw it, I didn't feel like, I was like, oh my God, what is this? I was just like, oh, what don't I know?
Yeah.
I'm missing context. I would like to be educated.
Exactly. I felt exactly the same way. I was just like, it's weird seeing that symbol, but I'm sure they would not be.
There's a good reason
I'm
for
sure
that.
They wouldn't be putting that symbol if there wasn't a reason for that. Yeah,
I'm sure these 13-year-old this gang is not into that. I mean, I know it's a gang.
See, if only everyone on the internet thought, you know, had rational thinking like that, you know, and instead it was just immediately like, oh, how dare you?
We've said it a number of times. People aren't willing to give the benefit of the doubt to people anymore. That's gone out the window in the year 2022. So.
Also, they forget that different cultures have different backgrounds and histories a lot of the time.
That's what's strange is that people really want to give benefit of the doubt to the country or even hide behind the country's flaws when it's convenient for them.
Yeah.
But when they don't understand something, they're like, oh, well, you know what I mean? I don't know.
They should have explained it better.
Anyway, keeping on anime, I guess. Okay. I guess since I finally get to talk about anime.
Go on.
It's like I didn't actually watch much anime this previous season because I don't think there was actually much good things.
Oh, God, don't say that. Everyone would get angry. There's no good anime.
Have you not learned my lesson?
2021, I think 2022 has been a pretty weak year for anime so far. But no, I guess the only real recommendation I would have since you were going through like last year is Ranking of Kings.
That's literally the last one I've been meaning to watch of last year. I've done with last year. I've
I mean, it's continuing on to this year. So last year was You know what I mean? It's a 23 episode show. So last year we only had like 12 episodes.
Oh, I mean, like I guess that. I'll just wait then. I'll
wait till it's finished.
It's almost finished, but I feel like it's only going to be a part one of the story. But yeah, Ranking of Kings is fucking incredible.
I've heard it's amazing.
Yeah, it's like unironically, a lot of people like, you know, Made in Abyss didn't watch it because it looked like a children's cartoon. I also didn't watch it because it looked like a children's cartoon initially, but it's kind of like the closest thing to like a Ghibli movie, I guess, in terms of like aesthetic and feeling. I really don't like Ghibli movies, but it kind of gave me that kind of, you know when you're like watching an anime fairy tale that kind of feels like that's like, I can only point to Ghibli that gives you that same kind of feeling, but that's the kind of feeling it's giving me. But it also is written really, really fucking well. Like, it's been a while since I've seen just an anime just this well written and with characters this interesting as well. It's like to me, like the winter season was like basically Attack on Titan and Demon Slayer. Everyone was like talking about that, but like to me, Ranking of Kings is like close to that level of quality, in my opinion, of just like how good the show is.
Well, I mean, there's also My Dress Up Darling as well, right?
There's also My Dress Up Darling, but that like that occupies a different space, in my opinion.
That's a different faction.
Yeah, you know?
True. There's the Attack on Titan Demon Slayer like core, and then the fucking My Dress Up Darling all the way over here.
Which is like, it was surprising to see like in Japan, my Ranking of Kings is really like shot up in popularity. I think it's like the most watched anime right now.
It's because there's a lot of voice actors who are saying how good it is. So they're all like, this is really fucking good.
There's a lot of power here.
Yeah, they do. I mean,
they're top tier celebrities here.
I mean, yeah, they're just like, they're not even just voice actors here. They're just actors with
celebrities.
They're just like gone to celebrity status as well.
God damn.
And that's why they can make questionable decisions like Hanazawa Kana selling NFTs, you know?
Oh,
which I saw that and I was like, this has to be a joke. And then I watched the video. Please say Sai Kana Kana, please.
I saw a lot of people that were like, no, I'm sure it's just her management. I'm sure it's just her management.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but like—
But she agreed to it.
Yeah, someone has to give the go ahead.
Yeah.
Like even if it is like her management's idea or whatever.
She might have a management, but she's allowed to say no.
Yeah.
I love that. It's like, you know, no one ever uses that excuse for Western celebrities or anything.
Yeah.
It's always with the Japanese celebrities. Like, no.
Also, it's like, I feel that only implies to like, you know, kind of low ranking talent, right? Mm-hmm. Who maybe where the management has a little more power because like, we're giving you the spotlight.
Big ones,
Hanakana is literally top 1% of voice actors. Yeah, like she can say no to whatever the fuck she wants.
She don't need no
and
NFTs.
Yet she said yes to the NFTs.
She takes any role she wants, you know.
She can do any role she wants. If she says, I want to be in this anime, the directors will be scrambling over themselves to be like, yes, let's get Hanakana in this. Exactly. So the whole management thing is just bullshit.
Yeah.
NFTs, no.
She literally, that is just Hanakana fans in denial of the fact that she's promoting NFTs.
That is just like her fans snorting pure copium.
Yeah.
It's just, I've never seen
so much
copium. I saw so much
copium being huffed.
Oh
dude.
My God.
It's insane amounts of copium, dude.
I think there's never been like, one of my favorite memes is just like, I think it's like a Kuma image of just like thing. And it's just like a depressed guy. And it's just like Japanese thing. And it's just like him lighting up. You know, we seen that image.
Yeah, I love that.
And it's just this.
It's so true.
Never
man.
Been
so
a
true.
Time when an image is more pertinent than this.
The other version of that I love is like every Instagram post. It's like somewhere, and it's like really dark, and it's like somewhere Japan. It's
I mean, that's basically just the Trash Taste podcast in a nutshell. But no, like, I remember seeing that post and I was just like, oh, why did it have to be you? Why did it have to be
right?
You?
It's like, if it was like some like D tier, like, you know, I voiced like one fucking passing by a person selling an NFT, I would be like, whatever the fuck ever. But like you're literally one of the most notable voice actors today.
I'm just like, is this how idol fans felt when their favorite idol gets through like a controversy or they find out they have like a boyfriend or something? Like, I think I get it now, man. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, I felt betrayed, you know? It's like, why did it have to be you, Kanahana?
Like, I'm not even like mad. I'm just like disappointed.
Yeah, right. I'm just disappointed. I was like, oh,
come on, man.
God, I thought we were better than this.
Yeah,
it was. It was disappointing, but I haven't seen anyone talking about it since. I just saw it on my timeline and I'm just like, well, that sucks. Time to
go. There were a lot of even Japanese people on Twitter just being like, no. No, this ain't
How did Japanese Twitter react to it?
They're basically the same as how Western Twitter was.
Really?
Like, they were like, dude, why? Why you, of all people?
Bruh moment.
Yeah, that was a bruh moment, yeah.
Well, that's been your weekly reminder that NFTs suck.
Yeah. You know who else doesn't conform to NFTs? Our patrons.
Oh my God, wonderful. Wonderful.
You know, they could use that money to, you know, do all sorts of NFT stuff, but thank God they don't. Instead, they're using it to support this show.
The boys! Yes,
the boys.
Their wallets out for the boys. Thank you very much. Hey, if you'd like to pull the wallets out for the boys and support the show, then go over to our Patreon, patreon.com/trashtaste. Also follow us on Twitter, send us your memes in the subreddit, and if you hate our face, listen to us on Spotify. But yeah.
Yeah, and that's been your yearly anime discussion on that one episode of
See you next year!
See you next year, boys, see for a 20-minute anime discussion.
All right, see you next week. Bye!
Bye!